Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team and rear end problems and wedge salads. PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man. His crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a 2-hour lunch. A 2-hour lunch. The email started getting rough. The producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Fred Kirsch and Big Head 2. The balding one and his paunch. Scalabino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. BFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Hello!
Freddie's all discombobulated. No, he just read about news that some players were sent home.
Well, I just, Manza Young
Providence
from the
Journal.
Providence Journal, on her tweet, said that four...
tweet.
Four Patriots
were... We behave.
Four Patriots were sent home today for being late to a team meeting.
Yes.
The four players being Randy Moss...
Unexcused.
Derek Burgess.
Unexcused.
Adalys Thomas.
Unexcused.
And Gary Guyton.
Unexcused.
So what have you to say about that, Mr.
Unexcused.
Hart?
Well, Bill was asked about it. Mike Reese asked him. And Bill said any
unexcused.
Discipline will remain between me, the players, and the team.
Apparently it did not. So
It did not. It already had not by the time he asked the question. But on Bill's end, he's not going to, just because it gets out there one way, he's not going to.
Are we guessing that a player told her? Or
that would be my guess.
You know?
But I have no idea how exactly, but she got word of it, and it's a very interesting story in light of the current atmosphere surrounding the team, not only losing, but all this talk of a lack of leaders
now,
and
before,
fight.
This infuriates me, but I have to think about it and say, okay, we don't know how often this happens. You know,
it's true.
Last week, four other guys might have been sent home. We don't know. But the fact that this week it happened... after a game like that, and that it got out, so somebody wanted it to get out there, to be known, I'm pissed. I'm pissed now. You know, Guyton, he's done okay for who he is, but Randy Moss, Derek Burgess, and Adalys Thomas, okay, those two, Thomas and Burgess, if there's two guys that shouldn't be missing meetings, those are the two guys. So I hate to start to show off on... a rant like that, but this is troubling news.
It is. It's very troubling. And I wonder, now you wonder the circumstances, maybe every week guys get sent home.
Yeah.
I tend to doubt it. I just don't see that atmosphere being in place here. But I do wonder, it snowed out this morning. I was late. Paul, everyone was. But I also wonder, would they have been sent home if this team was 10-2 and riding high, or is this any sort of a coaching tool,
okay,
a message?
Good points. For those people who are out of the area, and there's a lot of you.
Traffic was ridiculous.
It was, they said, maybe there's some snow showers overnight. It turned into a freaking blizzard this morning. I had a carpool, the stupid kids to Zavarian. I got there an hour late because Route 1A was like a traffic jam. You know, so it was just miserable, and no one really is one of those that snuck up on everyone.
See, I think you get the opposite weather reports that everybody else gets.
Really?
I was driving home from Comcast last night, and the boards on the highway, the message boards were saying, winter storm advisory, please take precaution, AM commute.
Okay.
So I actually thought there was far less snow than they predicted.
Right.
think it's just because people in New England forget how to drive in snow every year.
Well, whatever the reason.
It was a tough commute today.
It happened right at the commute. If you didn't plan for it, you were going to be late this morning.
Yeah, I
didn't know anything about it.
So I guess
I left 15 minutes early, but was still an hour late.
If what you're saying is true, and it sounds very reasonable, what they're saying to these four guys is, you knew it was coming, leave early.
And you're saying this is the kind of crap that can't happen.
Right.
Whatever the attention to detail is, whether it's being on time to practice, on time to the stadium, in the spot you're supposed to be on Sunday, I think it's very possible this could be
calculated.
Being used.
I
don't think he told Moss to show up because I'm going to make it late because I'm going to make an example.
No, I don't mean that.
I think Bill may have taken advantage of a situation that presented itself to send a message and say, this is business for a month. We have a month to make sure business is moving in the right direction.
I'm glad Guyton was thrown in there. Because
I don't understand
he's a guy. No,
I don't understand your separation of players.
Well,
it's okay for Guyton, and it's not okay for Burgess.
Well, no, Fred would have sent Thomas and Burgess home and kept
that.
Moss and Guyton because they play.
You already said if two guys shouldn't be missing meetings,
right.
It's Thomas and Burgess. I don't understand that
because
mentality.
They're playing, not playing.
That
up
doesn't
to their,
mean anything.
Their potential, but I'm glad Guyton was in this mix because you know Guyton sort of is like a teacher's pet. He's you know the guy that they got off of you know. A street and has played great.
A street, not the street.
You know,
was it Main Street or Broadway?
He's played great above his potential. You know, so they're not singling out guys here that aren't just playing up to the potential. Anyone who was late, you're out. And
well, you'd have to, otherwise it would be.
No, I know.
If I think it could be a positive, it would be the exact opposite. If you started,
you
can stay and you gotta go.
But, you know. The only thing I'm worried about here, I'm not really worried about Moss, I mean, Burgess, Thomas, and Guyton, but you worry about Moss, how he takes this. You know,
you're not worried about Burgess and Thomas?
About how they take it? No.
Do you remember Adelis Thomas saying, ask Bill, he seems to have all the answers?
Right.
We're at round two of ask Bill, or round three, or whatever.
So what?
He still plays, and he's still an influence on this team at its most fragile moment, by all accounts.
No. If he's an influence on this team... That explains a lot.
You don't think he could be a detriment to this team if he gets more and more unhappy?
I think Moss could.
I think this team has cracks in the foundation, and I'm not the only one who thinks that. Obviously, a lot of, you know, Ted Johnson clearly thinks that is a big story.
Wow.
And I know you're going to roll your eyes because he has an axe to grind.
Well, and what does he know?
What do you mean, what does he know?
What insight does he have other than the same insight that we have?
No,
less,
he has
actually.
Insight into the locker room in a different era when
right.
there were leaders.
But he doesn't. He's not in
veterans.
This locker room.
Right, and he didn't pretend
he
was.
He's speculating just like.
But I'm in that locker room postgame
right,
when they're laughing. When they're laughing.
I'd listen to more
when
to,
I think they're not treating it.
I'd listen more to you than Ted Johnson.
I'm in that locker room today when budding leaders Gerard Mayo and Brandon Merriweather say, nah, man, I'm not talking today. And I don't think you have to talk to be a leader, but I think there is a certain vocal aspect of leadership that's lacking from this team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is missing. I think they have good leaders by example. I think Kevin Falk can lead by example. I think Gerard Mayo can lead by example. But they lost all their mouthpieces. They lost all their
right.
spokesmen. They all retired or were traded.
That's true.
And I think that's lacking. And I think if Adelis Thomas wants to influence what is already an unstable unit on defense, maybe he could. And that's not
good.
Yeah,
but he doesn't have the clout because of his play.
I don't think you need to have clout.
I think you do. I think
Brandon McGowan has influenced people, and he's been here for like 8 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it is. How many games? 12.
What do you mean he's influenced people?
I think he's influenced people. I think Brandon Merriweather is a bit of a follower more than a leader.
Yeah.
And I think he's followed McGowan's lead post-game, laughing it up after losses.
Oh, you mean in a negative way?
Yes.
Could be. I don't
know.
And
I think there's some guys on this team that are very influenceable, if that's a word.
Yes. Okay.
And I think if Adelis Thomas is suddenly really, really pissed off,
right,
which he wasn't happy when he got benched and he
right.
expressed it.
Right.
And he may express it again tomorrow in the locker room.
My point there was, and so what? You know?
And he's playing again as well.
I think that's had a negative impact on the defense as a whole. I think he not only is a guy.
I'll tell you what's had a negative impact. It's his play.
Well, I disagree. I disagree.
Well, on some level, I agree.
It's been a much bigger problem to me. I think. As much as you were expecting for him to do physically, I think you were hoping with Vrabel gone, with Harrison gone, with Brewski gone, that he'd be a guy you could
right.
lean on, and just the opposite
he
has happened.
He hasn't done anything.
But I'm not talking about physically.
I'm talking about leadership, too.
I mean, last year, in training camp,
he was the guy, you know, with his ear on the sideline, Belichick talking or Dean Pease talking.
And we saw that in training camp this year.
Right.
A lot of laughter, a lot of frivolity going back and forth with Belichick and Odalis Thomas. And all of a sudden, he didn't play well for a couple of games. He got benched, and I think he's completely out of it mentally right now. And I think that's a problem, mental part, not the physical part.
I know, but what do you...
Because the physical part... 10 other guys are just as responsible
for
that. Vince Wilfork is the only one who was absolved of physical problems.
What do you do with Odalis Thomas? You baby him?
No, I'm not blaming. This is not the coach's fault.
Yeah.
It's the player's fault.
What do you do? I think how he reacts to this, I mean, I think he could force your hand. If he wants to come back and be like a Terry Glenn malcontent.
I cut his ass.
Absolutely. I don't think he'll be here next year anyway.
I don't either, but that's not good if you're cutting a guy who plays in
December.
Freddie,
I don't want you to misunderstand. Well, this is not Bill's fault.
No, I understand.
The player hasn't held up his end of the bargain.
We're talking about what do you do? What do you do from here? You know.
Well, I don't know. It depends what happens when those four guys return and how they act. Obviously, the biggest worry is Moss because he's the biggest part of your offense. But I think it's a worry on all levels.
You know. It's a worry all around.
I mean, I think they could all have influences. Who is Gary Guyton's best friend?
I'd say Mayo.
Yes. So if he's unhappy, that could influence your middle linebacker.
I know, but and you have to worry about all
They're
this.
They're people,
but,
Fred.
But
they are. They have relationships
I
that
understand.
Influence them.
But as far as Bill is concerned, he's got to do this. He has no choice.
I agree with that.
Because if he doesn't do this, the guys like Mayo who were on time, it's like, well, what the hell?
But there's also a chance that it could be a negative. I'm just saying, you don't know how this is going to play out in the locker room.
I understand it could be a negative, but
I think he had to do it. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But he also
doesn't know
for sure.
More information. I would
yeah,
need to
but
know
on the
more
surface.
Yeah, from what we know.
You can't just stroll into a meeting late.
No, but there are some extenuating circumstances.
Sure.
Listen, the snow didn't cause someone to be an hour and a half late. I don't know what time they got. You know what I'm saying? If someone strolls in at 8:03,
Moss doesn't practice today anyway.
If someone strolls in at 8:03,
that's the kind of attitude that gets you in trouble.
No, but
by the way, he hasn't done that the last few weeks, if I'm not mistaken. He hasn't been on that injury report. Did not practice.
I don't know about last week. The week before, I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, so I don't think we've seen that as much the last. I thought it was the last 2 weeks, but if it was last week, but if he strolls in at 8:03 and says, "Geez, my car was buried. I didn't know we were getting that storm.
Right.
I got here as quick." I don't think you had to, quote-unquote, suspend him. I don't know. I need more information about that. On the surface, I agree with you guys. If they were late, four guys were late out of 65 or whatever many it is, they need to be reprimanded.
I don't know the team policy. And, again, it got out this week. Maybe it's happened before. But usually on a team, you get fined. You don't get sent home because you're kind of hurting the team.
Certainly on a Wednesday, when you're putting in a game plan, you think you want everybody there.
Yeah,
that
I don't
you're cutting
know
off your nose to spite your face.
I don't know what the rationale behind sending him home was.
Yeah,
I think
usually
it was
you get a fine, but you still need him to participate.
That's why I'm back to where we started, and I think it was a message type maneuver as much as it was pure discipline.
Right.
Have you seen? By the way, in terms of just getting out the little nuggets of news, Freddie.
Yeah.
Tom Brady did. He and his wife had a baby boy.
They had the boy, they know it's going to be a boy?
No, they had the boy.
Oh, good. Congratulations. Good. I'm glad it
everybody doing well. Tom is here and does not plan on missing any time. Belichick said he doesn't anticipate any changes.
Well, where is she?
I assume she's in the hospital.
But in East Coast, not in L.A.?
Boston.
No.
East Coast.
Now, did they say whether it was induced or not?
No.
Because I find it very convenient that it happened on a
Tuesday night.
Like the perfect day.
Right. Well, I put that in line with the rest of Tom Brady's life.
Well, hey, congratulations to Tom. Glad we got that out of the way.
Could you be any more disrespectful?
What?
I'm glad we got that out of the way. Congratulations. It didn't cost him any time.
Good for him.
He didn't miss a playoff game.
I'm glad. No, good for him.
That kind of attitude would kind of piss me off.
By the way, I don't think he had any intentions of missing any games.
I don't either. And I'm not saying he should or shouldn't. But if I'm the guy, I know I'm not going to miss games.
But here's what
attitudes like that, assuming I wasn't going to, would piss me off.
Here's what I'm foreseeing.
I would have missed a game if I had
to. It's first week of the playoffs. Oh, when does she do? When is she going to? And that's all we hear for a week.
Yeah,
is it tonight?
You're right. It's better to get it done.
Now.
It was supposed
to
be. This is on time.
Exactly.
But you certainly didn't want it to be a couple of weeks late, and all of a sudden it's dragging
out. Is
he going
to leave after the game? Is he going to? Who needs that?
We don't have to worry about that,
right?
Because we know we will, whether he has a baby or not.
But
that's well documented in the papers.
You know, so good. He's got another boy. That's great. Good for him.
Didn't get into too much detail, but did.
Kid's going to be some type of super kid, I'll tell you, with those genes.
Did confirm that the baby was born yesterday, was the quote, and I assume it was late last night at some point, and that it was a boy and that everybody was doing well.
Great. Well, lefty or righty, do we know?
Yeah, didn't get into that.
Okay.
If we're going to do the little news tidbits at
sure.
the top of the show.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Practice
two practice squad additions. Quarterback Jeff Rowe, who a former fifth-round pick of the Bengals at the University of Nevada.
Sure, sure.
Threw for 8,000 yards at Nevada.
Yep.
Was in camp with Seattle earlier this year. Worked out last week and is now on the practice squad. Number 9. And number 10, wide receiver Darnell Jenkins from the University of Miami. Was with Tennessee last year. Was active for one game. Has spent time with Cleveland and Tampa Bay. He's a wee little fella.
Fast.
Yeah, I heard
returner
Sean Springs and Brandon Merriweather raving about his speed.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody catching. Well, I actually can't say half the stuff they said. There are a lot of bad words.
A lot of bad words in the locker room, Freddie.
Yeah.
A lot of bad words.
You
know, words that you would normally use on this show. But
okay.
Andy and I try not to.
So how was Bill's press conference today?
Well, I'll tell you, it really took a turn for the cold after Mike Reese asked about the four guys being sent home, I thought.
Well,
there
was
like
the
a pause. Bill, I thought, opened. He was in a normal kind of
got a little
Wednesday
icy.
Open. And then I thought it took a little a chill hit the room.
I thought.
Good for Mike for asking
well,
it,
here's,
though.
Here's the thing about that, my view anyway. I'll see if Andy agrees. I think that was one of the few things that legitimately he was asked about that he didn't think was going to get asked about. Now, I know Tom was asked about it later, and I know Tom had no idea that anybody could possibly know that.
Yeah, Wes Welker didn't either because he was asked about it. He was not ready for it. He was kind of,
Tom kind of paused, shook his head, and then he kind of put that, you know, that Tom Brady smile on, and he goes, God, you guys find out everything, you know, which was really the first confirmation that it actually happened.
Right.
Because Bill didn't really confirm it had happened in his... You know, whatever happens, discipline happens between the team is between me.
Okay. The players.
So,
and
if you're
team.
Tom Brady or Bill Belichick, your first thought maybe is who the hell told whoever it is that reported it, right?
Yeah. My first thought would have been a player,
right?
You know, in
so
my
now,
mind,
now
I'd be
you
thinking,
even more mad if you're Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because,
and I think I would have a name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's four guys, but my guess is. They immediately each, they may be different. Maybe one thought it was one and the other, but I think a name popped into their head.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Freddie. I think it does make it more upsetting for the coach because I'm pretty sure and definitely based on his reaction, it wasn't him. He didn't tell someone. He didn't want it out there, in other words. We know sometimes
right.
the coaches want certain things out there. This didn't appear to be one of those things. And certainly I think there would be other candidates in the media for it to have gone through had it been from Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to speak since you have a large slice of pizza in your mouth?
Please.
Yeah, they were all caught off guard, just like we were. I mean, we found out about it 2 minutes before the press conference.
Yeah, she did. I mean, hey, Shalice, again, you know, kudos to her.
You know she wasn't at the press conference because she was late due to the snow.
Oh, really?
She joked she almost sent out a second tweet saying, full disclosure, while reporting this, I'm late to Bill Belichick's press conference.
Oh, I didn't know that. But, you know, give her – that's pertinent information right now. And, you know, you throw it out there. I make fun of you in the Twitter and all that stuff. That was a way to get that out there quickly and before the press conference. So
is Doc in there?
Good for her.
Doc, are you checking the Twitters?
I'll check the Twitters.
Okay. Check Real Patriots because I know they follow Shalice and make sure she hasn't put up any new updates.
Check it right now.
Okay, and I'm sure that now that that's out there, you'll have the Schefters and everyone else trying to follow up on that. So
yeah, I'm not sure how much success they'll have in that.
Well, he seems to have pretty good success.
Yeah, but I think he has a lot of league sources.
Well,
I think for this story to go further, I think
it's need to get
one
player.
Of the four players. Or get one of the other players to talk about it honestly.
Right.
Which will be interesting to see if anybody can get that.
Well, it's troubling as a Patriots fan to have this happen the week after that game in Miami. It, you know, that's not...
Which came the week after that game in New Orleans.
Right.
First time they've lost back-to-back
right.
games.
What you want is
2 years,
we have
three
to,
years.
You know, you want that, you know, rallying the troops, the circle the wagon guys to bring everybody together. We're going to try harder. We're going to do better. And instead you hear this, it's yeah. the opposite. You know,
there's a break in the circle.
Now,
is the concern
now at
growing,
the same time, we Frank, might be making too big a deal because, like Andy said, it could simply be the snow, and then Bill just wanted to send a message.
Yeah, no, that might be, but is the concern is your
well,
concern
I,
growing?
I didn't necessarily or, say that's not a big deal, because this gets back to my whole communication thing. Bill doesn't need to think it's a big deal for it to be a big deal. If Adalys Thomas, Randy Moss, Gary Guyton. Or Derek Burgess thinks it's a big deal, and they express that to others who agree it's a big deal. Fires can burn out of control even if you're standing there with a hose.
Yeah.
But
as
bad, huh?
As this week is going on, Fred, we're into Wednesday now. Is your concern growing or, you know,
Fred, do you have a
decreasing.
Growing problem?
What's my concern? What am I concerned about? Just the overall state of the team?
I asked a simple question. You just can't. You have to.
What am
just,
I concerned about?
The fact
what
that
do you mean by
three,
concern?
The fact that we've lost three in a row with 7-5, and as Brady said, quite average.
They've only lost two in a row, three of four.
Three of four.
My concern.
Can you snap at me?
My concern hasn't grown yet. It's the same concerns I've had. It's not any worse.
After
than
the
it
season
was.
Ends and they're not in the playoffs, he will be concerned.
That's the best time to judge the level of concern.
You know,
is after the games are played.
So.
I mean, you got teams nipping at your heels.
Like I said,
I got super fans upstairs telling me they think this team's going to go 2-2 in the next four.
I'm sure that people are getting in trouble on that
Ferreira.
Team every week for one reason or another. Not making weight.
I'm not.
You don't think
I'm
so?
I'm not sure that there's people having discipline problems every week.
And
in New England.
Do you mean this year or always?
Always.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Always.
Is this the first time it's ever happened? No.
No.
But do I think it's a steady occurrence? No, I don't.
Now, if it's a steady occurrence this year, that might be part of the problem.
Right.
And that might be why the snow wasn't a mitigating circumstance.
Right.
Listen, you guys, enough is enough. Get
right.
to a meeting on time. I don't care about the snow. Maybe
right.
that was it.
Right.
That's why I said I needed to know more about
and we never will.
The situation. No, we never. Of course we won't.
I'll tell you when we'll know more about some stuff is when Adalys Thomas is cut and goes somewhere else.
Yeah, he'll talk.
When he's playing for the New
right.
York Jets next year and Rex Ryan,
right.
and he's talking to the New York media, you will read some interesting quotes coming out of Adalys Thomas.
Right.
You think that's possible that he goes to the Jets, Rex Ryan?
Oh yeah, I wasn't really thinking of the Rex Ryan thing, but yeah, I do. That kind of a defense
and
where he thrives.
I tend
in.
To think
he'd be great. He can sit on the bench next to that first round draft pick that they've got there.
You're right. They need someone to do that. They need someone to replace because that guy's a stiff.
But I also think
much
if he
much
has
to
the
my
option,
surprise, I thought he was a good
not
player.
Only is it the perfect place because of Ryan and the system. I think he's the type of guy that would love to stick a middle finger up at this place, and there's no better place to do that than the New York Jets.
It hasn't seemed to be a very happy experience for Adalys Thomas.
Well, as
and
soon
I
as
think
he got here, he got in trouble with Ray Lewis. They got into a little war of words. So he's the kind of guy that...
But I think he's a good guy. I mean, I'm not going to... This is not one of those, I'm going to all of a sudden... Well, he hasn't played well. He's a jerk. Who cares? Who needs him? Blah, blah, blah. I think he's a good guy who just... This hasn't worked out for him. Yeah, just, you know, sometimes that happens. Monty Beisel, I don't think he was a good guy.
No,
it didn't work out for him, and I think he was a jerk. There's a difference there. I think just for whatever reason, I don't think this was what Adalys Thomas was envisioning, and I'm sure it's not what Bill thought he was getting out of the player.
Right.
Sometimes you just got to cut your losses, and I think it'll
I mean,
be after
he,
this season.
When he got here, he showed flashes that...
Oh, he has ability. There's no question about that.
I wonder what the deal is with him.
And I wonder, is there any chance... He goes to, say, Rex Ryan, and all of a sudden we see a guy with 11, 12 sacks again. And you just say, wow, why couldn't Bill get the most out of him in this system? Because I think there's a chance of that. I'm not sure he's just a washed-up stiff that'll be out of the league in a year.
I think that, you know, from talking to some of the football players, some ex-football players, you know, guys like Steve Diassi and Smurlis and stuff, I think there's a technique issue there that he's not particularly good at in terms
Steve
of
Diassi.
The way the Patriots want to play.
Yeah.
And maybe that might be why this, you know, Bill did, as Andy said, Bill maybe hasn't gotten as much out of him in this system. I think it might be, you know, the setting the edge kind of deal, and the way that Bill wants his linebackers to play technique wise. I don't think is necessarily, I mean, that's what those guys. Talk, I mean, I would think that a former NFL linebacker and an NFL nose tackle might be able to recognize those things a little bit more easily than we would.
All right.
I know they're not in the locker room either, Fred, but. Sometimes you just got to take a former player's perspective and give it a little bit of
a late merit. Great sports writer told me, never ask an ex-player about football. They don't know anything about it.
But he knew it all.
Well, he knew a lot. He knew some things.
I'm not so sure he knew a lot about football. He knew everybody in football, which made him the best.
All right.
There's a difference.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
You're all befuddled, aren't you?
Is the phone number.
You found out the four guys were sent home literally seconds before going on the air, and it just threw you for a loop.
It pisses me off.
It should.
Just like it pisses Bill off. Blah, 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 blah. You know?
Blah, 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 blah.
Again, I don't know why they were sent home and not just fined, but there must have been some reason. You know?
That's what would lead me to believe it's not the first time.
For them or in general?
In general. Hey, you know, that's
like
it.
A couple guys every week are late?
Right. I don't know.
That's why I also wonder if they were 10-2 and riding high, would things be handled differently?
Well, maybe if they were 10-2, that would be an indication that people were on time. I don't know. It's one of those things.
That's what I mean, though. It's all questions
it's
right
all
now.
Questions.
And, and I don't just mean this. I mean this entire team is a big question
mark. We don't
know
what the freak we're talking about.
But
we really
neither
don't.
Do they. But I'm talking about
true.
Them. I'm talking about this team being a question mark right now.
Yeah, and the
who's
biggest,
the leader? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Everything.
We talked about it yesterday. That's why they're searching for the answers now. That's why they keep saying we can't put our finger on it. That's why they keep saying we have to go back to the drawing board because they don't know.
That's why they're questioning their own mental toughness. That's why they're questioning their own fight. Sometimes we fight, sometimes we don't.
It doesn't
matter. That's why I read Lawrence Maroney saying, I ran hard, I could have run harder, but it could have been blocked better up front. All of a sudden, there's a lot of fingers being pointed in a lot of directions.
Right.
That's not good.
It doesn't
matter.
And
it's not Patriots-like.
It's
not. If we know what we're talking about, it doesn't really matter. But when they don't know what they're talking about.
But these are not the Patriots.
That's why I asked you, is your concern growing? Because the comments out of the locker room this week have me more concerned than I was Sunday.
Right.
That's
why
I asked.
It feels like it's
question.
Closer to going the wrong way than the right, in my opinion.
It feels like the wheels are falling off. That's what it feels like.
508-543-7482. On the phone right now is Tyrone from Delaware. How you doing, Tyrone?
Hey, man, what's going on, man? You guys okay?
I'm great. I was good about 15 minutes ago. Now I'm not so good.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember me. I'm from St. Thomas. You probably remember. I called after the Denver loss.
Yeah.
Well, you know, man, I just came to reality. After the Sunday, you know, after the Colts game, I'm feeling still up. Then after, like, I think Andy was saying, not Andy, Paul was saying all the time that that win against the Jets wasn't an easy win, and he's right. I wasn't too comfortable with that win in New England, and then after I saw what happened to the Saints, I just said, it's over. It's just a lot of things that's going on here. I know I'd called, the last time I called, I was bashing Ballmer. You know, but still, he should have took Michael Arnold. I mean, you take a stud. I mean, Ballmer showed some signs, definitely. But it's Belichick. He did a lot of wrong moves here, man. That's why the team is not talented enough. That's just the bottom line. You know, you can put your finger here, put your finger there. The team, when I look at the team, they're not good. They're not better than the other team, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, on the defense, the only guy who's showing up, who's
Vince
making big plays, is Vince Wilfork. Right.
You got to take care of that man.
Yeah.
He is playing his heart out.
Yeah.
He's trying so hard.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame, man. It's Belichick's fault. He is so, and that's what a lot of people say now. But not, I don't know what they say in New England because I can't hear the radio station up there. But around here, a lot of talk is he's very arrogant. And I said it before. Since he won that last Super Bowl, he thought he could have just when people was asking for more money, like Deion Branch, Ty Law, McGinnis, and all them guys, he felt, okay, I don't need you no more. I can just put somebody in your spot, and the wheels keep on going. And it don't work like that. And this is what we're seeing now. Since I was watching ESPN Sunday, and since 2006. Of 2005, he did a draft pick, a good draft pick since. That's a concern. And if anybody we got to be pointing a finger at is him. The wide receiver position. Why we didn't see Terrence Dunn before Tampa Bay picked him up. Can somebody give me a reason for that?
Nope. We don't have an answer. I mean, that's when we wondered, the team, he seemed like he had a great preseason, seemed like he was doing everything they wanted. They passed him over. And I think he saw it, and I think that's why he went to Tampa. As soon as he had a chance to go somewhere, he said, I'm going to go.
You know what I thought? What I was saying is, okay, when Brandon Tate was getting healthy, I was saying, okay, let's see what Tarik Nunn got. He could have played him in the Tampa Bay game. See what he – at least see, let us see for ourselves. And, you know, you can't really know what he got unless you don't step on the field. And before you – I want to put Brandon Tate on till later on. He probably wouldn't have been hurt. I'd have waited. He had a major knee surgery. I would have waited probably now to start playing him. And that was a gaffe on his part because I don't understand. Another thing that bothered me, you know, after that Super Bowl in 2007, okay, we lost. Okay, fine. I'm saying to myself, in 2008, the offensive line is why we lost that Super Bowl. Yeah, the defense, but the defense played well enough. You got as much as you can out of the defense. I think they played good enough. They hold them to 17 points. You know, I'm thinking Belichick was going to, and going into the season, beef up the offensive line. Because Peyton Manning offensive line, oh, my, he got all day to throw the ball. Such as Drew Brees. They got and Tom Brady. It's not a Tom Brady. I think, you know what? I'm seeing out of Tom. It's not a Tom Brady loss of step. I'm seeing – this reminds me of 2005 when they won the Super Bowl, and the next season a lot of new players was coming in. This what reminds me of – this what Tom Brady is doing again. He's, like, getting a little frustrated because all he got is Moss and Welker. And I think Moss and Welker, they get the reason why the second half they can't produce because they winded it. Is it not a possibility? There's only two of them on the field?
Yeah.
Sure. It's certainly a possibility. That's all they have.
And he has struggled. You're right. He has struggled to get – to get his timing down with some of these new guys, much like I think it was 06 when he had the new receivers. But, yeah, I think it's a good point.
And he's frustrated. You can clearly see the frustration.
He is.
That was a frustrating interception he threw in the end zone. That was a frustrated interception.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bad play. I mean, it was a bad play, and there's been too many of those, and they seem to be happening on the second half, Tyrone, on the road. They've been leading 4 out of 5 games that they've lost. They've been leading at the half. 3 of those, they had leads in the fourth quarter.
Remember the statistics that used to go around when the Patriots have a lead going into the half, when the Patriots have a lead going into the fourth quarter?
There was something like one loss.
Year. It was in one.
It was a 60-something in one.
Right.
Now they've lost four times this year.
If nothing else, that tells you what's going on. That's what's changed.
The team. Yeah. It tells you that's not the team. This is a totally different team.
The mentality, exactly. The finishing,
too much transition all the time. Peyton Manning got familiarity with his players. I mean, it's not too much movement there. It's not too much, and they draft so good. I don't know what, man,
Tyrone, it's not that bad, all right? they drafted okay this year, I think. I think they got some good players.
Man,
it's not going to – listen, they're 7-5, as Fred likes to say. There are a lot of teams in this league, and Tom just said it as well in his press conference, that would die for the opportunity to be in first place in their division at this time of year. It's not that bad. You still have Brady. He's healthy. We'll be all right. Snap out of it.
Thanks for the call.
See you, Tyrone.
Tyrone having a lot to get off
he
his
had,
chest.
He
right
had
there.
A vent. You know what? We needed that call yesterday.
Right.
Because yesterday was therapy day.
But, again, the people who are saying Belichick has lost it, you got to get rid of Belichick, I'm telling you right now, any team would snap him up in a second.
Yes, we know that.
So
what if he has, though?
It's just, I'm so sick of that talk. He hasn't lost it.
But can we just play devil's advocate and pretend?
What if he has?
What if he has?
Then you get rid of him. But he
hasn't.
That's
what people want to do.
I mean, why do you think he's lost it?
Because I don't think he's lost it.
Because everything that this team was about, they're no longer that.
Look, you can't be, great every year.
But can you
it
listen?
It just can't be. But ask the Steelers.
They weren't great.
I don't understand
in different
about you.
Years, did Brady say we're not fighting? Right. Were they not mentally tough?
No, but maybe
tough?
That's what he thinks is the difference.
But what I don't understand.
So Belichick has lost it?
Maybe he's lost the ability to motivate his team.
He's lost, again.
That's not possible?
No one here thinks that Belichick lost it, so stop yelling. Stop whining. No one here thinks that Belichick lost it. But we're trying to offer what those people that think that he has lost might be thinking.
Right.
Okay? And you say it's hard to stay great all the time. Well, yeah, it's hard to win games in this league. We all agree on that.
Right.
But wouldn't you also agree that the head coach has been somewhat responsible for some of the losses with decisions?
I think that, yeah, I think that his decisions contributed to losses.
In a vacuum, forget about his history.
Yeah.
Okay? 2009. What would you say about a team that consistently loses leads in the second half of road games? I would say, in a vacuum, that's a sign of bad coaching.
Right.
Now, I don't say that with Belichick because of the track record.
And because you're not in a vacuum and you watch the games. You saw what happened. Belichick didn't throw that interception in the end zone.
But the people that want to get rid of Belichick, Freddie, aren't looking at what he did in 2003. They're looking at what he's doing in 2009. And they know that if it were the Houston Texans, who, by the way, are doing this, they're losing games that they should be winning in the second half of games, and they're 5-7. And they're saying, that coach has got to go.
Right. Well,
that's what people are looking at the Patriots.
We're smarter than that. We are looking at it from the – we see every game.
I agree. I don't think Bill – listen, you know what I think about Bill. He's the best in the
business. I can't blame Bill Belichick for Brady throwing an interception in the end zone.
But we'll never know.
No, but you can blame him for not kicking a field goal in a tight game.
I was going to say, like I said, I think his decisions have contributed to losses.
And Andy's got a good point, too.
But the problem
we'll never know when he loses.
The problem is, I think Bill's faith in this team is right now, he should be questioning himself. If I was him, I'd be saying, you know what? This team isn't what I thought it was. Next time I'm going to have to take those 3 points.
That's not right. It says SportsCenter right now, Randy Moss, Dale Thomas among 4 Patriots sent home for being late to Wednesday's team meeting. I don't see any attribution to the Providence Journal.
No, if it was the Globe, they would have it all over the place.
That's just wrong. Unless ESPN reported it first,
then
it's
Andy's
wrong.
Talking about he's watching TV, saw SportsCenter, and they had the thing on the bottom.
Unless they're saying it, too. They might be.
What about deaf people out there? They should get to know
they
that.
They might be saying it.
That's wrong. That's stealing.
Not attributing.
Deaf people have the closed
Providence caption. Journal tweet. That's wrong.
What if she got it from them?
Well, then she's wrong.
Yes,
Somebody's stealing.
Yeah, either way, someone did something wrong.
Right.
But my guess is they're just
ESPN
reporting
did it wrong. And I'll guarantee you if the Globe had tweeted it out, Boston Globe would be written all over ESPN because all the people that run ESPN are former Globies.
But my point is, Fred, motivation, leadership, all these things we're talking about, we're never going to know if Bill loses the ability to cultivate that within his team until it's far too late.
We don't know
what Brandon Merriweather thinks about Bill.
Yeah,
we don't know about Gerard Mayo. It's all mental. It's all heart and feeling and soul of team, of player, of coach.
You know, when
he's
the,
just ignoring
when
it,
the
so
defensive
well
backs. No, I know, but I like to. I can do this with you. When you're watching defensive backs laughing after a loss in the locker room. I don't know if that's because they don't care what Bill says.
But Ted Johnson doesn't know what he's talking about, saying that, you know, Harrison and Bruschi used to hold players accountable and make them show that they cared they were losing, or that they kept Eugene Wilson and other guys like that in check, guys who might have been kind of followers who could, quote,
sure they did.
Drift.
I mean, Harrison was known for it, getting on people who weren't working hard enough in the weight room or whatever.
Who's keeping the Eugene Wilsons of this team in check?
I don't know.
Or are they not in check, and that's why you're losing back-to-back games and losing on the road?
We don't know.
Why are you closing one eye and picking one nostril?
He looks like George Costanza with grapefruit in his eye. But according, based on what we've seen, the results of what we've seen, there isn't a lot of that accountability. And you might say, well, how do you know that? You're not in the locker room. Well, I'm listening to the quarterback of the football team openly asking why his team doesn't fight back. That to me is reason enough to know that it is a problem. And I don't think anything Ted Johnson said in that story is wrong. And by the way, you better get used to that quote because you're probably going to see it soon.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Let's take our first break, and we'll be right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member of PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
You know, you don't want to be so big and stiff, you know, come season time. You want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, you know, more athletic and more lean and, keeping my ability to move.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
He moved all right.
Now you think he's a big stiff.
Hey. All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Got a lot of emails here. A lot of emails.
So. Every one of them ripping you for how you read emails.
Jason from Ireland, who's living in Barcelona, says, I'm worried about Moss more so than the other players, and I think he's been taking it a bit easy on the field despite leading the league and receiving yardage. Yesterday, you guys pointed to the fact that he stays away from Brady on the sideline now and doesn't fight for the football sometimes, but there was a very noticeable play last Sunday when the Patriots set up a screen to Welker on the right on 3rd-and-2, I think. Brady instead decided to throw left to Moss, who was split out wide, but he looked like he was having a snooze and wasn't on the same page at all. Of course, it was incomplete.
I think it was a pass to Falk that Moss was supposed to make a block on and missed his block.
Do you think Bill was a little defensive today of
Very
the offense
so.
And Moss?
Very much so.
The first
was a continuation of my question postgame that he didn't like.
The finger, did the finger change anything with Brady? He said, well, you saw the first drive. Nothing changed.
Yeah.
And then, there was a question about teams limiting Moss and not getting the ball. But did you see the touchdown pass?
Well,
was that all we want now is one play out of Moss a game and
right.
We'll pack it in and call it a day?
And here's the thing. He has, in the last three games, and this is, I know that you've been poking fun at me because I brought up that thing about Moss, but
being done,
he has 10 catches for 167 yards and 2 touchdowns in the last 3 games. On the surface, that seems fine, but if you really look at that and break it down, it's way, way down from what he had
right.
been doing over his first 2.5 years here. And you're right, Andy, 167 yards, that's not a bad yardage total, But when you look at only 10 catches to do that, he's averaging 3 catches for about 50 yards and a touchdown.
But wasn't,
and
I,
and
wasn't
I want,
this
it's coming
same?
On one play.
But that's
every
no,
game.
No, no. What I want to clarify is this was the same cold weather late season Moss, but it was in a dome and in Miami that
right.
this happened. Generally, those were the aberrations
forget
in the past.
It.
Well, but
listen,
forget
gonna,
about the
it's
weather.
It's not going to get better
late
the next
season.
Three games.
He had
well, no,
the same
but,
thing
no.
happen.
If you
weather.
Went back, you'd it's see weather. Some trips to Miami or some domes where he'd have a big game, and you'd say, wow, he it's really evident he likes warm weather, controlled environments. Now, he had those, and he still didn't have super games. He's getting one big play here, one big
now,
play
he,
there.
He didn't have a monster Super Bowl in Arizona, but... He had a, I mean, he did catch the go-ahead yeah. touchdown.
But I remember in 07, even at that
oh, yeah.
amazing year.
But there's
the
a
end
difference
of the year.
Between Baltimore
that's
in the end
weather.
Of the year, New England in the end of the year, and Miami or New Orleans.
The last two games have not been weather. It doesn't figure to get much better the next three games for him.
And,
oh.
and I didn't even really.
Well, Houston will be all
right. Right, that's why the next three games.
Yeah. I didn't really bring it up for the Moss angle. I brought it more up for the Bill angle getting defensive and why he seems to be.
Yeah, I thought
promoting. That, no, Moss is fine. Everything
we're
doing,
Bill
Moss is
defensive
fine.
I thought Bill was defensive in that, and I also think Bill. And we talk about this a lot, and I understand he's the coach and he's trying to be positive. But if someone were to suggest to him that the offense has played well the last couple of weeks, based on the fact that they've had 450 yards of offense,
he'd slap
he
him
would
around,
bite your head off so fast it'd be ridiculous. But when you're suggesting to him the offense is struggling, he's pointing to Dave. Well, we have 450 yards. Right. Did you see the pass to Moss?
And I get that. I think that's back to the year-long theme of. A little more positive reinforcement, a little I can critique my guys, but you don't critique
but
my
don't
guys
right.
kind of thing. I just thought today's was really interesting in light of the report that he had shipped Moss home. You might have thought he'd be a little bit on edge dealing with Randy Moss, and maybe he'd say, we can all do things better, and that's Randy Moss. But while the guy's sitting at home being penalized for being well, late, Bill's saying he's fine.
I'll tell you the one that he was, I think, on edge about with Moss was the one about getting him the ball. And
yeah.
and then he but he followed it up with you know when he started talking about I'm trying to find exactly we can come in here and talk about this stuff every week, you know, and he branches off into, you know, why so and so ran the ball and then he didn't get any passes thrown his way and why this guy caught the ball and that guy didn't get anything. There's only one football, you know, and there's only so many plays and opportunities. And that's when he branched off into the whole thing that Andy's talking about. You know, we moved the ball pretty well. He had the touchdown pass. Did you see that? But why could we sit here and talk about Randy Moss every week? You know, like it kind of told me that that is an issue, that keeping Randy happy is someone's responsibility.
Right.
Whereas I don't think keeping Wes Welker happy, I don't think anybody has to worry about that.
Yeah.
I don't think keeping Sam Aiken happy, anybody has to. Even the tight ends, who have been virtually invisible, I don't think that anybody on the coaching staff is losing any
no
sleep over that.
There's no doubt that Moss is one of those artistes that, like Eric, very sensitive. You
it's
know?
True.
I don't know if he wears as many sweaters as Eric, but
I doubt it.
He has his own style.
But Eric doesn't wear the amount of suit coats that don't have sleeves that Randy
true,
Moss does.
True.
And Eric's nowhere near as good at anything and as Randy Moss is at catching the
Eric
football.
Can't do cornrows. No
that's
way.
That's true.
No way. Let's see, TG and NJ, wow, the Patriots are falling apart in front of our eyes, amazing. Moss hates the cold weather, he didn't come in because he didn't want to deal with the snow. In the offseason, I want a house cleaning, all the bad attitudes gone, start fresh. What happened to getting players to whom football is important to them? Squidward grammar help, please. Use the word whom. Okay, I got an issue. I know it's her job, but as a fan, I take issue with Shalise from the Providence Journal. I know she's not on the team and she's doing her job as a reporter, but it sounds like loose lips sink ships. As a fan, I want to tell her to shut the F up. My apologies to Paul for being a fan, and my apologies to everyone for allowing Andy to make a joke about Shalise's loose lips. Andy, you are right. Adalis will end up on the Jets for sure. I can see Rex Ryan smirking now. Guys, I'm not convinced they Captain. Will win another game this season.
Wow. 0-4 down the stretch.
But TG and NJ is very negative.
He really is.
Even when they're doing well, he's very negative.
He is a little negative.
Tell the player X, Y, Z, or Q to shut the hell up, not Shalise.
Yeah, it's
she
not her
can't
fault
inform
for reporting
people of anything that's not told to her.
That's good reporting.
Right.
That's good reporting.
That's kind of her
you
job.
You can't just report the good stuff.
Right.
If but,
did,
you know,
be us.
Wow.
I'm pissed
can you imagine
at
if they lost
whoever
four?
Leaked that.
Right. There's one of four possibilities.
Like I said, for all we know, there's something that somebody does every, whether it's a weight issue or being late or this or that or losing a playbook. It's always there's 53 guys there.
What?
You know, there's stuff going on all the time. Plus practice. You know, it's like a big frat house for Christ's sake. Guys are going to get in trouble.
For Christ's sake.
What?
It's building. He's losing it.
No, I mean, so there's a lot of stuff that goes on. God knows, you know, who knows what happens off the
field.
An
F-bomb.
But
this is possible.
When guys start talking about it, that's the leaks. Those are the leaks that sink the ship.
But that's my point with the whole, you don't know how this is going to, if people know player X is talking about
right.
it, maybe they now feel emboldened to talk about it. Well, and all of a sudden things start
right.
snowballing.
And that's where you need the circle the wagon guys. Who are they? We don't know.
Are there any?
We don't know.
We don't even know if Tom Brady is.
Right.
He might be, but he's always had the ability to use the other guys
right.
and kind of pick his punches and kind of.
Based on what
now
I've
he's
seen,
the guy.
They have Brady and Kevin Falk for that.
I'm not sure either of those
really
guys is the guy.
I've not really seen any evidence of any other.
Remember
any
when
other
can
guys.
Either of those guys get in somebody's face and say, "Shut the f up, do your job, stop being such an
right.
a-hole"?
Remember,
I think Rodney. I think you have to
look,
have an edge of.
I think
even
it's
when
awfully
you go
hard
back
for
to,
Brady
jerk.
To do that.
You have to be a jerk sometimes
look,
to be a leader.
Even when you go back to 03, Richard Seymour wasn't necessarily the loudest guy. The Bruce. But when they got rid of Malloy, the guy that kind of settled things down was Richard Seymour. Brewski, remember him? I can't even talk
right
now.
I have more loyalty to my high school than the Patriots,
right.
was the quote.
Seymour was the one. They each had their role, you know,
right.
certain times.
Now you only have one guy.
I don't know.
Two, whatever.
You know, Brady is.
And then we were talking about, you know, we started it yesterday. Andy and I were talking about it again today in the locker room. Can a guy who's not playing a lot or not playing a huge role
yeah.
do it? James Sanders, who, by all accounts, is a terrific. Well, he can't.
Yeah.
He's a cheerleader. That's all he is.
To which I'll get back to, why was Mike Vrabel let go?
Yeah, and
because I think Vrabel could have played a little, like Seau. He's played middle linebacker as well as edge, whatever you want him to do. He could be that jag linebacker that plays three snaps a game every 3 weeks. But I think he also could be a leader, right? We know he had the jerk side that would, if he saw something he didn't like, he'd tell people.
Well, I don't know. Was he that type of leader? I mean, he was talkative.
And he would tell people to shut the bleep up.
And I also think he knew.
I've seen him give a guy a dirty look when an interview's going on and he said something that he shouldn't have been saying.
Yeah.
I have seen that. And I also think
so
that
I assume
he knew the defense.
Extrapolating, he would say something.
I think
afterwards.
It was through knowledge, too. I think he knew the defense
right.
so well that he could be a leader just by that.
How
he
about
knew
Willie McGinnis walking
yeah.
through
yeah.
when
yeah.
Bethel Johnson's playing wiffle ball in the locker room saying, don't you have a playbook to
don't
study?
You
don't you have a meeting
to
get to?
No. All
and we know about Rodney's that you already brought up. You know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, someone would be walking in and he goes, oh, you just getting here?
Yeah.
Can Brady do all those things?
Slept late today, huh?
And
is he
Rodney,
too nice?
Rodney would push Brady. You know, he'd push
right.
Brady in practice.
Right.
You know?
There's a void. There's a leadership void, and you can't tell me there isn't.
You know, we said it when Rodney got hurt the first time, and then
but
he was the soul of that defense.
But there were other guys around, though, when he
I
got
know.
Hurt. That's why I don't think it was as noticeable. Now
but
they,
he was still, you
they've
know,
really,
his presence was
but they've
still,
really kind of washed.
Was still in the locker room.
But you couldn't do anything with
Harrison.
But
washed themselves away of four guys.
You
that I think
no, no, no. You didn't
leaders.
Wash yourself away of four guys. One of them, Rodney Harrison, retired. One of them, Teddy Bruschi, retired. One of them you traded, one of them you traded. You chose to wash yourself away.
No, I'm just
and okay,
saying they're not here.
One of them you got a first-round pick that's the most valuable pick in the world for Richard Seymour. What did you get
so
from
you,
Mike
So you
Vrabel?
Don't think it was the right move?
I didn't say that.
Not for the short term, it wasn't.
Short
for the long
term, no.
term, it was.
But
we said that
even that
start.
One I'm arguing, okay, I see the upside. I still don't see the upside with letting Mike Vrabel go, throwing him into a trade. You didn't get anything tangible for Mike Vrabel.
Well, again.
And you lost a leader,
think,
and at the same time you
I
lost
think,
three others.
I think they... Again, I think they totally misread the whole situation with Jason Taylor. I thought they thought they were going to have Jason Taylor, and he was going to replace Mike Vrabel.
But I don't know that he could have just walked in and been the leader. Could
based
have?
On what I've
well,
seen,
I don't know. But
based on what I've seen in the two games that I've seen him up close, I'm not so sure that would have been
well,
any better than
no,
Derek Burgess.
They still might have been wrong, but that's what I think their
but
thinking
I,
was.
But again, I'm not talking about playing. I'm talking about leadership.
Yeah. Well,
why couldn't Mike Vrabel have been Junior Seau? Play a little bit. Be a leader, know the defense, all that crap.
I don't know.
Hey, one of those, TG brought up, you know, losing all four. You know, one of those stupid statistical things that you never thought about. You know, like the guy that always asked the SPFW, you know, can all four teams go 13-3 and go 3-3 against
right.
each other in the division? What would happen? But just imagine if the Patriots lost all four, but Miami and the Jets both lost all four, because no one plays each
right.
other. Miami's done with the Jets and the Jets and
7-9.
So they all go, you know. The Patriots would win the division,
with the division
at 7-9.
Right. They'd lose it at 6-10, right?
Yeah.
The other two.
Miami and the Jets would be 6-10. The Patriots would be 7-9.
Oh, God.
You're AFC East champs.
It won't happen, Paul.
Brian at Tuscaloosa.
That thing never
although,
happens.
Although Buffalo conceivably would have to lose because they only have 8 losses, right? And they would have 1 win anyway because they would beat the Patriots.
Right. Brian at Tuscaloosa says, hey, guys, and Eric, last week when Eric jumped ship, he made it blatantly obvious why we haven't won the big one in the last 4 years. He was hired. Since Eric's pompous arrival, we have lost the AFC Championship, the Super Bowl, Tom Brady to a knee injury, and we are now hovering around mediocrity. And has anyone watched Sports Jobs with Junior?
Yeah, it's terrible. I watched the first 2. It was terrible.
Wow.
I haven't seen it.
It's not good.
There's no way I can say this respectfully, so I'm just going to say, I just don't find him all that interesting a person.
He's not.
That I would want to watch a show basically about his
Shaq
personality.
Carried
Shaq
the show.
I would watch that show.
Seau could not. And beyond that, the biggest problem I had is the jobs were so superficial.
I'll tell you.
He didn't really do anything. He put the last screw in a toilet and said, I put a toilet in.
Sean,
if I want to see a guy do a dirty job, I want to see him actually do the job. It's cool to see the Hall of Famer do a real job, not just grab a screwdriver and put the last screw in. Oh, we're going to lay the first piece of turf at Giants Stadium. It was a 12 by 12 piece of turf. Don't tell me that's really the first piece of turf, that they start with one little teeny piece. They unroll a massive roll.
Do you imagine,
wow.
The anger.
Yeah. He goes, we're going to test the lights. He goes up and just flicks the big red lever arm thing to turn. It was all so superficial. It was stupid.
Wow.
Sean Springs, I wouldn't mind watching in a show like that. I like Sean Springs.
He's available.
Rosa writes in.
He's doing as much as Junior Seau right now.
Rosa writes in. She says, I hope you're doing well. Finally got to listen to the show live today as I work for a bunch of crazy rich people. Anyway, I want to know if you think these past few games are a telltale sign that Belichick is losing his spark.
Fred?
I can handle that one.
I cried deeply into my nachos when we lost to the Colts in penis face Manning and decided to have too much fried dough after the loss to the Dolphins. Is he making bad calls or is he just not taking the chances he usually does that have made him one of the best coaches in the NFL? Please help a sister out. And give me next week, and I'll have a good picture to send to you guys to drool over.
I was just going to ask.
Love the show. Stay classy, PFW.
We're not sexist, but any women who email the show must send a photo of themselves.
You know, at your convenience.
I think all the criticism of Bill is just, but I think it's the first thing we talked about. He made all his bad decisions in March, April, May, June, July, August. When did Burgess come? I want to make sure I include that one.
His really bad decisions.
So I think all these decisions were nitpicking on 4th-and-1 and 4th-and-2 and doing this and doing that in the season wouldn't be anywhere near as glaring if Sean Springs were playing a high level of cornerback for the team, if Derek Burgess was getting some pass rush, if Joey Galloway was catching 45 balls for whatever.
Yeah, they'd be 9-2 or whatever, you know.
That's my point. He made all his biggest mistakes before the season ever started.
Connor Hughes is from Ireland. He says, an interesting thought came to me while watching Sunday's game.
Drunk.
First, do you think the Patriots will make the playoffs? I think you'll say yes. Given this and the offense's overdependency on Wes Welker, I think I have a way to achieve the long-term goal of a Super Bowl. Okay, I can't wait. This is good.
Send out hitmen.
I like
San
it when
Diego
people have solutions. So let's hear it.
Well, my first answer to the first question would be, I think so.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I'm willing to give a definitive yes.
They are. They will. My suggestion postpones the short-term success of easier regular victories, but makes the long-term success of a Super Bowl much more achievable. Okay. The Brady-Welker connection is working. It's almost perfect, and I think you will agree. This is one way to win, and it will be still be a way to win in the playoffs. But what I'm suggesting is deactivating Welker for 2 of the remaining 4 regular season games as a healthy scratch. This ultimately throws the offense in the deep end and puts them under huge pressure to find new ways to win. Everyone knows
us. Everyone takes you out of the playoffs.
Everyone knows the best way to become a better receiver is game time snaps. I think the offense would benefit from Aiken starting instead of Welker for 2 of the 4 remaining games, as Welker is perfect already.
It's so ridiculous.
It's like if you have your end of term exams in school and you're already an A student in math, but not so good in the others. Instead of hammering away and studying what you're best at, you study what you're not so good at. You have more to gain from raising a C grade to a B than a grade to an A+. Brady needs to stop depending on Welker. Aiken and Moss needs to step up from a C and B grades respectively to a B and A grade. It's all about relative benefit to the team. The team is better when Welker stays at the level he is and Moss and Aiken raise their game, rather than Welker being even more magnificent and the others staying the same. That way we have 3 good passing ways to win instead of 1 excellent way and 2 above average. If you like this email, my name is Connor.
and I'm from Ireland. And if you don't like it, my name is Eric Scalavino, and I'm gay.
Well, we'll give you a little bit of a pass because obviously you were drinking when you came up with this idea. Now, I don't think the idea is stupid. Like, the theory behind it is to fire, you know, pressure, put yourself under. But are we really going to deactivate Moss and Welker to see what else we can do?
No, just Welker he wants to.
Well, I didn't understand that. I'm deactivating both of them.
He wants to. No, well, just, that's part of the problem I have with it.
The idea is to get away from the dependency on Welker, but it's too. You do that in preseason.
I would
so
argue,
why don't we bench Brady, too, so we can work on the running game?
Right. I would argue against a lot of that stuff. Number one, you know, this whole Welker, the Brady to Welker thing is an A. Well, they have connected for 4 touchdowns this year. I think you can do better than that. You know, what's one of the biggest problems on offense, Brad?
Red zone offense.
Okay, so everybody's been a part of that.
Yeah.
So that's number one. With Welker playing at an extraordinarily high level, they're scoring 20 points a game, basically. Yep. So I think they are number two
in the league in offensive yards.
Right,
which means
Belichick
nothing.
Has always told us to completely disregard, except for this year.
Yeah.
When he said regard it.
Right. So I think that there's, you know, as well as Welker has played, I don't think the offense has been overly productive on a consistent basis.
Luca writes in just one thing. I don't think the secondary play has been that bad, except for the Saints game, but the pass rush is horrible. Even I could probably get open if I had 5 to 6 seconds to do so. And it worries something. From this point, it can only get worse. I don't think the locker room spirit can be fixed. And one draft question, where in the draft would you take Taylor Mays from USC, and would you?
Well, I'll have to do more. He's a good player.
I like Taylor Mays.
Playmaking safety.
Late first? Or we
probably
go higher than that?
He may go higher than that. I think he's a first-round pick in all likelihood. We know he'll move 20 spots in both directions between now and April. But
yeah.
I would like to see him as a New England. He's the type of big, fast, playmaking athlete that I think this defense could use some of, assuming he's a good guy. I don't really know all the background on him and leadership and all that, because he's right. That's as big a problem as any. The pass rush is a physical problem, but I think the mental problems this team has, I think, can't be over-magnified right now.
Stripper sends us this. Apparently the Globe got Bannacane to quote. I think this is from Tully Bannacane. I think it would have been laid down at any time of the year, regardless of whether we lost. That's not acceptable here, linebacker Tully Bannacane told me after I presented him with the news of the day. That's Bill's deal, and I think in general everyone's sense of urgency is a little higher now. We're in that part of the season where it's a 4-game season. The antennas are way up. I think if anything, it just brings the sense of urgency up even higher.
Who's me?
Bert Breer, I assume.
So.
Kind of written in his trademark style.
What the hell is this?
Making himself the
story.
Is
this Shalice?
No, it's from Mortensen.
Oh, Mortensen says on his Twitter, one can say Belichick ruthless, not allowing tardy players, including Moss, to work with Snowstorm, but bet it's been building up to this point. That's what Chris Mortensen says.
That's just his opinion, though.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about, that maybe it's not the first time.
But, I mean, Tully said the right thing, that everyone has a sense of urgency. We're hoping that's the case.
He, by the way, spoke to a huge crowd.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't turn it down. He was one of the leaders in there, and yet again, I continue to say maybe it's a problem that Tully Bannacane is one of your more consistent players on the field and a leader in the locker room.
Aaron from Sterling, Virginia says, send Eric home. Can you put in place a similar tardy policy at PFW? I think that would help the show.
Well, Fred would be by himself today because...
How about leaving? Is there a leaving policy?
I was hour late. Yeah, Paul comes in
Paul
an
has
hour
to
late
do,
the 4 hours early.
Well, he just leaves. He doesn't even wait for a break.
It's just amazing.
All right, we'll take a break and watch Paul leave, and we'll be right back.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So, basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of 3 flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. Talking about 4 Patriots who were sent home today for being late for a meeting. Gary Guyton, Derek Burgess, Randy Moss, and Adalys Thomas.
That so
was reported, we think, by Shalise.
It was definitely reported by her. Yeah. I don't know if she was first.
ESPN reported it as well.
They're stealing it from her, I think.
Right.
That's what they do.
They're stealing it from Reese.
No, I know Reese didn't report it.
Right.
I know Shalise had it before Reese did. I'm pretty sure Shalise broke the story. And
I would agree.
It's getting
somebody has loose lips, which I'm just as upset about as the 4 people being sent home for being late. So Tully Bannacane says that, you know, it's what Bill would do, and he thinks it's the right thing, and everyone's antennas are up, and there's more of a sense of urgency now. Well, let's hope so.
Kevin Falk poo-pooed the sense of urgency idea. None. Yeah. He said all we have to do is go out and practice on Wednesday and fix the things. There's no more sense of urgency because 2 straight losses, like anything.
Well, no, but Bannacane was talking about this disciplinary action. Yeah.
Kevin Falk is using the business as usual, do your job, show
for
up,
for him,
practice.
A problem because he's a pro.
Yeah, but that's
every
my point.
Week. Is
him being a pro might not be enough to turn everybody else into pros.
I was just going to say, can he teach
the
others? For him, it's
And no offense to Tully Bantakeen, but I'm not sure if I'm some JAG player that just because he says something, I'm going to do it.
You know who should be one of the people getting these guys together is Pepper Johnson.
Well,
you know,
Dean Pease mentioned that yesterday. If there's a lack of leadership within the players, that's where coaches have to step in.
Yeah.
I think that's tough to do as well.
Yeah.
There's a divide there.
Maybe Dean can write a piano song and play it for the players.
Why are you mocking him?
I'm not mocking him.
A little bit.
There's different ways to motivate.
You think that would motivate Adalys Thomas? Ding, ding, ding.
Eric, it would.
Exactly. There's different kinds of people.
James from Roanoke Rapids.
We have a phone caller.
So?
He's been on the phone forever.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Orlando.
Who is it? Orlando from Springfield.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Uh-oh. You sound somber.
Well, man. I just got a quick comment. And then
just because he's been on hold so long.
Now, listening to the show, man, you guys obviously ease the pain of this ridiculous season we're having. But listen, you hit it on the head earlier, man, when you were talking about, like, a lack of leadership, man, on this team, man. When you're going into the locker room and, you know, you just lost a game the way we've lost a game, and guys are laughing, I mean, there's something wrong there. I don't remember exactly what year it was. I heard a story a while back that the old 49ers, they had just lost a game. They're on the plane right back, going back to California. The veterans are sick. They can't believe they lost this game. And in the back, you got some of the rookies and some of the first, second year joking around. Okay? Ronnie Lott, flanked by another veteran, gets up, goes over there, and tears these guys a new one at like 20,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Got their attention. I don't think there's anybody like that on the Patriots now. I don't. And, you know, and you know, like a Rodney Harrison, that's the kind of guy who'll get in their face and say, you know, why are you laughing? You know, you know, our season's going down the tubes and you're laughing about it. It's not funny.
Right.
But I think there's a void. There's a huge void there, and these guys aren't taking it serious, man.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more that that guy is missing because, and Ronnie Lott's a perfect example, the guy who does it not only needs to be a playmaker, a leader, but he has to be a guy who instills a little fear.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to fear him a little bit. Rodney, you feared.
He has to be a little bit crazy.
Teddy, you
right.
feared.
Right.
Willie McGinnis, you feared. I'm not sure anybody fears Kevin Falk or Tom Brady. They respect him. He's a great leader. He works hard. I don't think they fear him.
Yeah.
Yep. I got to agree with you there, man. I mean, like you said, if Tully Bantakane, with all due respect, if he's the guy stepping up and saying, hey, we can't do, we got problems.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's all over. Problems. The ship is sinking. And again, that's no offense to
maybe
Tully
Julian
Bantakane.
Edelman's that guy.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, man. Listen. All right, guys. I've tried to figure this one out, man, and I've looked at the games. I've read articles. I've even done a little math. What the hell's going on out there?
What the hell's going on out there? Yeah.
Guys, I don't understand it. I just do not.
Maybe
understand. We pretty much got the same cast of characters on offense. We should be scoring 40 to 50 every week. I mean, I understand the defense is young, so we'll give up a few points. But fellas, we're like moldy cheese.
I don't know, man.
Bad, brother. What's going on? I mean,
yeah.
What do you guys see that maybe I'm not seeing?
I think this offense, we didn't miss Jabbar Gaffney when he left, but besides his catching ability, I think in this type of offense, that third guy needs to run good routes because that opens things up, you know, not just for him, but for the other guys. And I just think that whoever that third guy is, he's not that, you know, all around good wide receiver. And I think that's what this offense needs for Brady to be able to survey the field and truly have options. You know, I don't think he feels in his mind that he truly has options. And I think that's most reflected in the red zone.
And I think that's reflected in defenses.
Yeah.
When you see a team that says, okay, we're going to double Moss and Welker, beat us some other way, they don't think he has options. They don't think they're going to lose by doing that.
You know, if the last time he looked, Sam Aiken wasn't in the route that he was supposed to be, the next time he's under pressure, he's not looking for Sam Aiken because he doesn't trust that he's going to be in the place he thought he should be. You know, so I think that's part of it.
And
I
think it's a bunch of things that are 5-10% responsible. I think there's probably something to the change of coordinator. I don't think that's the whole reason, but if they're 5-10-15% worse because of that move, that's a part of it. If they don't have the third receiver and that's 20% of it, that's a part of it. If teams no longer fear Moss and Welker in the same ways, maybe they've lost their, you know, Mike Tyson aura and they're willing to say, my guy can match up, Darrell Revis can match up with Randy Moss. I'm not going to fear him as much as I used to.
Right.
I think there's 10 factors maybe. The offensive line isn't playing as well as it did. Brady's, a half a step slow on his, all that. You combine them all, and I just think it's a perfect storm of negative in some ways, much like it was a perfect storm of positive when they were putting records up in
07. Look at it the opposite. The Patriots have often had the philosophy on defense. Let's make them sustain a long drive. You know, let's bend but don't break. Eventually, they're not good enough to sustain that all the way through. Now the Patriots, the shoe's on the Patriots' foot. The Patriots are the ones that are having trouble sustaining long drives because eventually along the way, they'll commit a penalty, someone will drop a ball, you know, or, you know, there'll be a turnover or whatever. But they're the ones now that are having, a you know, trouble sustaining that offense play after play.
Right.
You know?
That's why they're relying so heavily on the big play.
Yeah.
I tell you guys, I really just hope that they get it turned around, man, because I mean, we're running out of time. And, you know, like you guys said previously, in you know, the last couple of shows, we get into the playoffs, we're not lasting long.
No.
We are not lasting. We will find ourselves watching somebody else play for a championship. It should be our championship.
Yeah, we did that last year. We don't want to do that this year.
No, hell no, hell no.
Yeah.
All right, fellas.
All right, Orlando.
I'm going to get my therapist on the phone, man, because I need to get through this week somehow.
All right.
Take care, fellas.
All right.
I'd suggest drinking. A little alcohol never hurt.
Well, just be happy you're not Tiger Woods.
That's true. Well, I would have been happy I was Tiger Woods for about the last three or four years.
Incredible what's going on with that.
Unbelievable.
I mean, we're not even – there's probably more stuff yet to come out.
Still just
the depth
tip.
Of this guy's depravity.
The tip of the iceberg.
He's unbelievable.
I'm telling you.
This guy was a monster.
But that's why. He was so focused and pinpointed and skilled and genius in one area. They always have to have a crazy
flaw.
Well,
it's true. And, you know, it's so funny because – when he was at the top of his golf game, you know, people said, well, the only way you can get to be the where Tiger is be totally devoted. And now we understand that, my God, that was maybe 50% of his time.
Yep.
The other 50% was managing this
bimbos
cadre of – it's unbelievable what he had. He had a literal harem going on.
And he had a guy that helped him. He had a guy that took care of, like, their travel and, like, coordinating. I mean
– was it Will McDonough?
I don't think so. Oh.
Anyway, but no, it's just amazing. Not to get off on a tangent, but I'm shocked at what this guy.
I'm not. I always hated him. I always knew there was a skeleton in the closet.
I'm
Freddie, or many closets.
I'm one of those naive guys that really, you know what? Here's how naive I was when you know Tiger first ran to prominence. He won his first Masters. I said, after golf, this guy's going to get into politics, and he probably has a future.
Well,
you know,
this doesn't stop him. I mean, half these politicians
have
this.
No, but I, you know, but that's what I thought about him. Like, this guy's squeaky clean.
I know you're crushed. You lost Tiger. You lost Lance Armstrong.
I'm crushed.
All your heroes are being torn from your heart.
You know, it really is too bad.
We know the next shoe with Tiger after all the...
Oh, steroids.
Exactly.
Right.
And all you people who were mocking me when I ripped Lance Armstrong and mocking me when I ripped Tiger will say, Andy, you were right.
Well, with him, though, it's probably more HGH
no one will ever
or something
say that.
Like that.
Well, when
it.
I say steroids, I mean performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
He's cheating.
Yeah. It's really too bad for everybody.
Who would be next on your list if you lose Lance Armstrong, you lose Tiger? Well, I don't want to. I think I might know the answer.
Yeah, it's TB.
TB12.
Right, but I think he's cool.
You thought Tiger was cool. You thought Lance Armstrong was cool.
I have faith in Tom.
I do, too. I would be stunned if anything. I mean, not like he could have little transgressions or whatever, but a Tiger Woods-like scandal I would find as stunning as any.
Damn right.
James from Roanoke Rapids. I think the last game showed far more than the inability of the young defense to stop anyone when it counts. It has also shown that those doing the play calling for the so-called high-powered Patriots offense are in need of some new innovative plays to do nothing more than just get a first down when they're trying to run out the clock and help secure a win. What they are also missing is a big bruising back who can get them a yard or two when needed to continue drives or help close out these close games. Teams are not respecting the Patriots' run game at those times, and this has allowed them to sit on roots as they know that Brady will try and pass for the first down instead of trying to run for it.
You might get that wish for the bruising backfield in the coming weeks. Obviously, Fred Taylor returned to the practice field last week. If you think about it, a lot of what they've done lately in short yardage is an I formation, Sammy Morris at fullback, Lawrence Maroney at tailback. We saw the give to Morris. How much more impressive would that backfield be with Fred Taylor lined up behind Sammy Morris? I think you fear both of those guys in short yardage running. I think that might make it a little bit more difficult to stop. I think Fred Taylor could be a little bit of an elixir for this offense in the coming weeks.
We could be saying thank God for Fred.
Instead, people are praising Maroney. Do you still think he's having a good year?
The whole year, no, but I think he's done better of the last four games.
Has he proven himself a lead back?
No.
Okay.
No, he still has a ways to go.
Because that's what I said on SPFW yesterday. Now people are sending me all these projections, and if they did this, if they gave him 10 more carries, somehow they're getting him to, he could be having a 1,300-yard, 18-touchdown season.
No.
If he could, they would.
Right.
He can't. They don't.
Mayor from Tampa, yes, the Patriots are playing like crap,
But let's look at their five losses. At Indy, at New Orleans, the two best teams in football. At Denver, at Miami, Brady and the Patriots always struggle there. At New York Jets, second game of the season without Welker. The Patriots will win their final four games and finish 11-5. Wasn't that what we expected at the beginning of the season? Two of their losses were by 1 point, and one was in OT. With a little luck or a play here or there, they could easily be 10-2 now. So relax. As bad as they played, they are not in a bad spot. The offense will be better down the stretch and in the playoffs. The return of Fred Taylor, just Andy said, will help the running game and take some pressure off of Brady, who is pressing right now. No, they won't win the Super Bowl, but this team is far from done.
Those facts
I agree with
are
that.
True, but I would say this. The fact is, Tom Brady won the Offensive Player of the Week his first game back. He won the Offensive Player of the Month for a month. He put up huge numbers, is on pace for his second-best quarterback rating ever. Is he having a great year? Did he have a great start to the year? Anybody who watched all the games would say no. Sometimes the facts, the numbers, the statistics can be a little bit misleading. This team is not as good as that would indicate. That, you know, they were this close to losing to the Bills. They were this close, which is even closer than that, to losing to the Baltimore Ravens if the guy doesn't drop the ball on the inside the 5 yard line or wherever it was. I mean, this team could easily be 5-7 right now, for all you people who want to spin that we're a play or two away from being 10-3. Or 9-3, or whatever the hell.
George Tamajong in Boston says, come playoffs, I believe the Patriots will turn things around. The coach and the quarterback are one of the best in the business in their domains, and these are things needed in winning teams. The defense will adjust, I believe, and trust Belichick. What do you guys think?
I don't think the defense is adjusting anything. The offense, I think, is still capable of getting ridiculous because I think they have Hall of Famers and talent and playmakers, and Fred Taylor could help and all that. I don't think this defense is going to suddenly have a pass rush and have pass defense. And, you know, you say you can barely beat Manning. You know, we only lost to Manning. Well, those are the teams you have to beat. You're in the dogfight with Denver and, right. and Cincinnati and these teams. That San Diego's playing very good football. The Colts are still playing good football. If this team wants to be a championship team, sooner or later you're going to have to beat good teams.
Gail writes in, Tom needs confidence, and you know it. We watched this intensely, and our observation is that he missed a year in Colts 1, and he feels less of a person. If you say good things about the Patriots, they will, in fact, come true. And it's late in the season. Okay, this is just nonsense, I guess. But anyway, she says that the team needs to get his groove.
What?
All right, I don't know.
Why is it nonsense?
It's just
nonsensical?
Yeah, pretty much.
Sorry, Gail.
Beth writes in.
What is this, all women today?
It's okay. We like women.
Big day for the women. Shalise breaking stories.
She has a PFW Christmas verse.
Oh, I like these.
It started to the tune of Jingle Bells and then pushed too hard. So I'll just say it. Oh, Fred Kirsch smells. Andy head swells. Eric sulks away. Oh, what fun it is to hear Paul misremember all day. Oh, Pats fans yell. The team's going to hell. Eric agreed today. As Andy continues to imply that Eric is gay. A month or two ago, the show began to slide. Fred felt worse for wear, so he began to swear. Andy picked a fight, even though he wasn't right. Paul tried to placate all while Fred groomed his balls. I don't know what that means. Anyway, dashing down the hall, Eric is salacious to one and all. His arrogance shows once more like Paul's temper in a store. Andy has the gas. Fred shaves his hairy ass. Paul just hides away, and Eric acts his effeminate way. Some fans say fire Bill. I say in Bill to still trust. How soon they all forget our old friend Rod Rust. It's true. Good
That's
Beth.
A very, very good email and a very good poem.
Good
well
Beth.
Done.
I don't think you pushed too hard at the end.
I don't think so. I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah. Maybe, Doc, you can sing that later and record it, and we can use that as a...
Have Eric sing it.
Yeah.
He's a member of a choir, you know.
Maybe we could do that in the first hour inside the playbook.
Yeah.
Can't be much worse than whatever
else. Did
you
find out yet if Eric has a guest yet?
I haven't seen Eric today.
We will tease you in the last half hour when Eric arrives, but I think he has a very, very pertinent guest on Patriots Playbook today.
So Eric is hosting Playbook by himself?
Well, but I think he's going to have a very, very pertinent guest, someone who's in the news today, creating news, creating waves.
Strippers, who always keeps us up on the latest, says that Titus Adams
has been moved to the active roster.
What?
Titus Adams has been moved to the active roster.
They had an empty roster spot?
I guess. I don't know.
Brett Lockett was placed on injured reserve.
Oh, okay. Oh. I figure. He blew out his groin in special teams last week. Add that to the fact that we thought he was the 53rd player for about 20 weeks in a row.
This is sent from Anthony's iPhone. I know you have a lot of email for it, so I'll keep this short. Wow. Moss, Thomas, Burgess, and Guyton. Wow. What is up with this locker room? I'm already starting to look toward the draft.
What kind of locker room they got there?
We have of little faith is all I can say.
At what point are you going to cut ties? The very last game?
I guess somebody's already reported it because strippers found out that Tom Brady is not at practice. So...
Why is he not at practice?
He's probably tending to his kid.
Bill just said his availability would not be changed this week.
Well, maybe he's going to be late to practice.
Although he did get a long phone call right before he did his press conference. Stacy was waiting for him as he talked on the cell phone for a long time.
There could be something going on.
And Eric Scalvino had some one-on-one time with the quarterback today.
Well, Eric will be here soon, so we'll find
will
out.
Will he?
Not to steal Eric's thunder, but Chris Price is reporting Brady, Taylor, Burgess, Guyton, Moss, Pryor, Warren, and Thomas, not at the start of practice.
Can you repeat the list one more time?
Brady, Taylor, Burgess, Guyton, Moss, Pryor, Warren, and Thomas.
So where's Eric? Everybody's reporting everything, and Eric's...
To be fair, maybe he's reporting it.
Ollie from London says, you would think it was Randy Moss who disclosed that four players were sent home. Doesn't he talk to Shalice?
Nope.
It seems to be that there is some disaffection with the defense... And Adalis Thomas is at the heart of it. Bill obviously wasn't happy with his performance, both on and off the field, earlier this year. After every game now, he basically calls out the coaching with his ask Bill. He makes the call shtick. I'm close to wanting this guy cut right now. It's not like he's producing, and he's not back next year anyway. Andy, you're in the locker room. Is that what it looks like to you?
Could he be cut in the coming weeks? I think that's a definite possibility in wake of this incident and all the ask Bill comments. I do not believe the first part of that email. I would be stunned to find out that Randy Moss was the source on that. He doesn't talk to a lot of people, and I don't think Shalice is one of them. So I would guess it's one of the other players. But we also need to understand it could be an agent. It's not just a player. A player could call his agent and complain and say, is there anything I can do? I was just sent home. And the agent could tell a reporter. So, you know, the web kind of grows. It's not necessarily just a player, although it probably came from the player side in some way. But... Remember a few years ago? Remember who the yapper was who was underperforming? Steve Martin. You remember when he was cut? The week before Christmas, I believe. Right around the December 15th, 18th, somewhere in there. So certainly would not be unprecedented, although it would be a much larger name and move. But if you're looking to shake things up, say they lose this week, Fred, and he's still looking to shake things up, maybe Adalis Thomas gets sent packing.
Aaron sends in the fact that ESPN did cite the Providence Journal, at least online.
Okay.
Mike Reese, ESPN Boston, four New England Patriot players, including receiver Randy Moss, were sent home from Gillette Stadium for being late for an 8 a.m. meeting Wednesday, the Providence Journal reported.
Right. Yeah, I was pretty sure. But they're not doing it on TV, and who sees a lot more? TV. People see a lot. That's just fraudulent. They're the worldwide leader. They think they got the most chips at the table. They can bully everybody around. Are they a partner of ours?
John in Clearwater, Florida says, getting the team ready. You suck, Fred. I think you guys would agree Bill does things to win games, and he also does things to get the team ready for the playoffs. I think Bill went for it on fourth against the Colts because he was trying to win the game, but just before the half against the Fish, did he go for it to win the game or get the team mentally ready for the playoffs?
Mentally ready?
I have no idea what that means.
I don't think it worked if you were looking to get them mentally ready for the playoffs. I don't think they're mentally ready for Wednesday afternoon practice right now.
You know,
I think this is as fragile a locker room as we've seen in New England since Buffalo, Lawyer Malloy, that whole saga. That's where I think this team is at a crossroads. We know how that worked. They went from they hate their coach in a terrible locker room to they never lost again and won Super Bowls. So I don't think all is lost, but combination of the mental with the fact that I don't think they're overly talented on defense and have some real holes, it's not looking so good.
I want to say this very clearly. They hate their coach.
If they means Adalis Thomas, I think I'd have to agree.
Brooklyn Matt writes, and they ought to send in Blacksmith Andy to whip the defense's cohesion into shape. He can tie on his blacksmith apron, carry in his anvil and hammer into the middle of the locker room, and hold a meeting with the defense. He could get all caveman aggressive on them like he does with Fred, Paul, and Eric, and the callers. He could disgruntfully mutter under his breath, "How long are we going to stay quiet?" like he did during Tyrone's call, and pose the same question.
I didn't say anything. That was a soundbite from Idiot behind the glass.
And pose the same question to the players about who's going to step up as the leader. Or Andy could intimidate the defense into falling into line by putting on display his misdirected anger, as all we listeners have come to cringe over. Andy could also take each individual player to task one by one by verbally shedding light on their shortcomings whilst clanging away on his anvil, wielding that big blacksmith hammer of his. Clank! I say send in the hilariously amusing rageaholic Blacksmith Andy, and the Lombardi Trophy is automatically well within our grasp. So
I would just like to point out, there was one factually inaccurate thing there that was a soundbite. I loved Orlando or whoever was talking, and Doc
Tyrone.
Tyrone.
So how long are we going?
Yeah, that was Doc playing that.
Well, in from the cold, Eric's mad already. He's walked in, and no sooner has he walked in, he's complaining about the headphones that he has to wear.
Eric was not released yesterday. Contrary.
What's the matter with the headphones, Eric?
They're what is this?
They're headphones.
The other one's broke. I've ordered new ones.
Ooh.
You can take Paul's if you want.
He doesn't.
Where's he?
Paul had to go to the big show.
We've lost the fat man, and we're running lead.
Well, Eric, about 15 people beat you to the punch. We already know who wasn't at practice.
Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I'm just saying.
You're looking at me with this look on your face like,
ding, ding.
No, but what happened?
Oh, we got drinks now. Good job, Doc.
Now, there's a lot to talk about, Eric. Obviously, you know about the guys that were dismissed
today.
Correct. Shalise reported that.
First and foremost. Is Shalise joining you on Patriots Playbook?
Yes, she is.
Shalise Manza-Young will join Eric Scalavino, she who first reported the four players being sent home this morning, even if ESPN TV doesn't want to credit
on
her.
The show.
Correct.
What is your job?
To find out how she got the story?
Yes, it is, buddy.
I don't think so. I think you tiptoe through it since she was nice enough to come on your show and save you from a terrible
Agreed to that before the news broke.
Yeah, I know, but she probably could have big-timed you and done some real interviews.
She probably could have.
So here's what you
do. She probably could have.
Get yourself a bottle of wine. we'll light a candle here.
Fred, lube her up a little bit.
You know, make some small talk. You know, how's the weather? Oh, it was a terrible commute today.
She'll go running away like all the other women he's tried that with. So let's not do that. Let's just have a radio show.
That's fine.
Lubricants. Don't push her too much on it, but try to dig a little.
All right. Lubricants. So what do you got for us? I also understand that you had some one-on-one with number 12.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully for an upcoming feature. I'm just trying to get it. You know, outside of the normal press conference questions.
And he's got nothing going on. You know, the team's falling apart. He had a kid and everything.
No, I figured today was the day to do it because everyone was going to be asking him either about the baby or the players.
And
being
apparently it worked. I saw he talked to you.
Yeah, he did. It was good.
But why was he not at practice?
Well, that's a good question, especially since he talked so much and emphasized how much he needed to be here.
And Bill did.
Yeah.
His availability would not be altered.
Right. So,
but I'll let you in on something. I don't know if you saw this. Right before he went to his press conference, he waited at his locker and
was on the phone.
Cell phone for an extended period.
Yes, I did see that.
I don't know what it means. I'm just saying it's possible.
I think he was – I saw somebody hand him the phone. So I don't think it was his phone that he was on. I think he was doing somebody a favor. He might have been doing another –
Interview
or something, yeah.
But he wasn't at practice.
He was not at practice, at least
after everybody
at least when
said,
you guys were out there.
Yeah, so it could be, he could be.
And it was indoors, correct?
Right. It was indoors at the field house.
Yeah.
No full pads, though, which is a little surprising. Shells and sweats. You know, today's usually the biggest hitting day of the week. Maybe they'll do it tomorrow. Maybe they won't do
it
all this
week. Well, last week they didn't do it either.
Remember? Well, last week was a short week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, last week was a little different.
This is a regular work week.
This is a regular
generally
work week.
Wednesday, installation day, you have a little bit more. But man, they figured half our team we sent home.
So yeah, I was a little surprised that he wasn't there, given all of that had been said earlier about how he needed to be here. So all I could surmise is if he doesn't take part in practice at all, is that maybe he feels like the mental work is more important than the physical one this week, because he did say that he did a lot of work yesterday on his off day at home. to prepare, and he even came in here to do some stuff yesterday. I don't know how normal that is for him or not, but you know, maybe he did some extra stuff knowing that he might not be around for, you know, obvious reasons.
Was the birth induced, or was it just...
He wouldn't elaborate on that. He just said that it happened yesterday, so it was pre-midnight.
Awful convenient.
And it was a boy.
It was a Tuesday.
They haven't picked a name yet.
They haven't picked a name yet.
Oh, no.
Really?
I thought he wasn't.
No, he said we haven't chosen a name yet.
Did you tell him Andrew was still available? It's a good one.
No, I didn't tell him that. Andy Brady?
Bo Brady.
Bo Brady would be great.
Bo Brady would be good.
Now, what's it? What would be a Brazilian name?
Marcos?
Marcos Brady?
Oh, for Christ's sake. Who cares? What else you got?
You asked it!
I know.
I didn't ask what his name was.
Yeah, you did. You said, is there a name, didn't you?
No, I said...
So I don't need to run through the other...
Go ahead, do it again, because we got it off of the Twitter.
The four who were kicked out today, plus Brady, Taylor, Lockett, you know the transaction?
Right.
You know the transaction that was made?
He's gone, and Titus Adams is up,
so now the two practice squad guys are there. So they're at their 53 plus the 8 on the practice squad.
Make sure you ask Shalice if she's pissed that they're not putting...
Reported by her?
To her on ESPN, TV, and ask if she can sue.
I'm sure she can sue, but I don't know if that would be wise. But do whatever you want.
I mean, that's ridiculous. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. So, there you go.
Okay.
So ridiculous.
Now, what were you talking to Tom about?
Trying to do a Gerard Mayo story. Why is that funny?
Nothing. I was laughing at him.
Why
is
that
funny? I didn't do anything.
I like your boobs.
Yes. Wait a minute. What's this Gerard Mayo story?
Because
if it's the story I think it is, I'm not sure now's the time to be writing this story.
Well, I think now's the time more than ever.
Wasn't it supposed to be a positive leadership story?
Well, it was a leadership story.
Oh.
So, you know, we can spin it however we want now.
When do we start writing negative features?
Gerard Mayo, he's not a leader. Read more over a two-page spread.
We're going to go into the next game in the luggage bin.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, it's no offense. This is kind of like my Bill O'Brien feature I was going to write, and the interview was kind of in a holding pattern until the offense is good again.
Well, but I wanted to gather the material so that we'd have it just in case.
So Brady said he's a great leader.
Essentially.
Really?
Yeah. So Brady didn't say he's a great leader.
Uh-oh.
No, it's just, why do we have to go through it now?
What's your take on this whole thing?
Which whole thing?
Is the ship sinking? Does it just have a leak?
His ship was sinking last week. The leak got bigger.
It's what I wrote in the commentary. It's dissolving before our eyes.
Okay.
The wheels on the bus fall off when they drive.
I mean, this happens to every franchise that's in this position. It shouldn't come as any surprise to anyone.
Here's the one difference. Most of us are now saying, this season's probably not what we thought it was going to be. He thinks the dynasty is dead. The door is closed. Belichick can't coach. Right. Let's move on. Blow it up.
I'm just saying, you have to be realistic about these things. There's a natural...
See, he didn't even dispute when I just said, Belichick's done. Blow it up. Move on.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Would you be willing to move on?
From Belichick?
Yes.
Right now? No.
And Brady?
No.
And Moss?
No.
Why?
Because I still think that they're the best at what they do.
Moss is leading the league.
But why? When dynasties die, they die. Noel lost it in Pittsburgh. Lombardi lost it.
Let's look at Dallas,
for
instance.
Is Pittsburgh going to get rid of Tomlin and Roethlisberger?
Been doing it for a shorter span.
Let's look at Dallas.
Tomlin is certainly.
Aikman hung it up when he was ready to hang it up.
Right.
Irvin hung it up when he was injured and realized he couldn't, you know, physically do it anymore. Fred is blowing his laptop.
No, there's crumbs. I'm just getting the crumbs.
Why are there always crumbs on your laptop?
Because he was excited to find cookies stashed behind a pile of stuff over there.
You know, they're still able to play and for the most part play pretty well. And Belichick is still a great coach despite what some fans are writing in and saying about him. He's still a great coach. I would still take them over any other people at those positions in the league for the most part. So it's not – I don't think it's time to let them – but what are you laughing at
now? Sorry. The Raiders just ran a trick play in the game against the Steelers that's on NFL Network, and it was a McFadden run right throwback to Gradkowski in the middle of the field that James Harrison met Gradkowski and the ball at the same time, and he got buried for an 18-yard loss or something.
He's ridiculous.
It's amazing that the –
Mendenhall's not ridiculous. James Harrison is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but Mendenhall's ridiculous too.
What were we talking about before I laughed at you?
Oh, you know, nothing important. There's a good Christmas poem that you should read later in your email.
I saw it. Oh. It's not funny.
You didn't like it?
No.
I thought it was good. She hooked me the last time.
Fred wants you to sing it.
The word to rhyme with was way, I believe, and she didn't say what I thought she was going to.
Henry from England has been trying to get an email read for a while.
Hank!
Maybe you are more than welcome to steal this if you agree. I don't think the problem is the drafting at all itself. It's an overanalysis of a lottery. I also don't think the Patriots' demise is due to a lack of talent either.
Oh,
I believe
the draft is not
that
a lottery.
To be lazy analysis.
Lottery is luck, total luck. A draft is picking the best of the players. They work year-round for that to not be a lottery, to not be
exactly.
Luck.
Okay,
it's an inexact science, but it's not a lottery.
Henry says, whenever the Patriots are analyzed, one word was previously always mentioned, that of versatility. Each player had multiple roles. A corner could play wide receiver. A linebacker could play tight end. And a quarterback could play golf. These were these were all something that formed the Patriot way. This idea of versatility doesn't still exist, but it does not impact games and situational football the way it once did due to a contradiction in philosophy that started rather ironically in the 2007 season. Since then, the entire success of the team depends on getting a lead early and forcing the other team to play catch-up against a prevent defense, i.e. not giving up the big play, forcing them to throw short to mid-range passes, becoming one-dimensional. The game plan changes, but the fundamental principle remains. Theoretically, that is set up for domination. However, in reality, it is extremely fragile and inconsistent. In 07, its fragility held up until the very end. It is, in fact, taken away everything that defined what the Patriots were. This one-dimensionality makes this versatility that still does exist redundant. The defense is built for one situation. As you Americans like to compare football to war, so I will follow suit. The Patriots' defense is essentially a submarine, a good tool for its situation in its set of conditions. However, you can't then expect a submarine to defend a counterattack in Fallujah. The Patriots used to be Marines, the pinnacle of versatility in any given situation, and now they are submarines.
How long are we going here?
He's been trying for a while. Two more paragraphs. Of course, there are other variables to this demise, but I'm talking in fundamentals, and until it's sorted, they are just infections in the laceration. For me, this has to change to become the victorious Super Bowl Patriots of old. I would like to state that in no way am I implying that Bill should no longer be the coach. Far from it. I just think you need to sort out the roots of the problem before you can grow. I think his experiment has hit the wall. It's just a testament to how good we are that we still win more than we lose. Apologies for sounding pretentious, but with the way Fred talked about rugby, I lost my fear of talking about football to Americans even though I'm English. I would have included
That's
examples.
That's the best line of the email.
I would have included examples and gone more in depth, but then there would be no chance of it getting read, so I just hope you get the gist of what I'm trying to say.
Okay, before I respond to that real quickly, I just want to let you, Fred, know Todd McShay just published his ballot on ESPN, and his first choice on his ballot that he submitted to Heisman,
Toby Gerhardt. All right.
Second, Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram.
Third, not about who Sue.
Right.
Didn't include a quarterback.
Who's that again?
Wow.
The guy from Nebraska.
Oh.
His name is Nbamakasukakong. I'd like to get to the basis of that email I thought was flawed. I don't think the way the team worked in 2007 was get a lead and then play prevent. I think the way they played was get a lead and then go after him.
Right.
And I think that's how Mike Vrabel ended up with 12 and a half sacks.
Yeah. It was.
I think they put the foot to the throttle on both sides of the ball. Get a lead 14-0. Defense now can pin its ears back.
Right.
Offense keeps going big
plays. And that's
what
I thought they'd do in Miami.
Get a lead, get a bigger league,
right.
Go after their quarterback.
And kill them. I don't think they played prevent.
No.
So I don't really agree with the gist of that. And
so, Henry, at the end of the day, I know more about rugby than you do American football.
I disagree 100%. He knows way more about American football than you do about American football.
You button-hooked him there.
And I just think we're finding different ways to say we overrated the talent.
Sam in Chicago says, let's not sit in the garage with the car running just yet. All the expectations were too high this season.
Nobody's saying they're going to kill themselves.
Brady's return after coming off a huge injury didn't mean we were a shoe-in for the Super Bowl. As much as I wanted to believe it, it was way too much to ask.
But everybody thought it.
I know.
Yeah. Everybody. That's my point. Vegas isn't emotional.
Right.
Vegas thought it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We've been riding high for many years, and we're not invincible to the ripple effects of huge personnel changes. Bill tried to cover as best he could not foresee a Burgess Galloway Adela's bust. I must say this chaos, here comes my cheerleader outfit, could make a great playoff run story if they turn this around.
If they make the playoffs.
If. Yes. If. Okay, let's play our little game. I don't know if you remember a few years ago we had this argument about starting the season. You know, they're most likely to start the year.
Oh, yes. The famous argument. That was the season they went 16-0.
Yes. Let's play that game with the next four games.
Better chance they go 0-4 or 4-0?
0-4, 4-0, 2-2.
Oh, you're adding in 2-2?
Yeah.
I think there's a better chance that they're going to go 3-1 than 4-0, but there's a better chance they go 4-0 than any of the other options.
I think there's a better chance.
So you think their best chance is to go 4-0?
No, the best chance is 3-1.
Oh, okay.
I agree with you. Best, yeah. I think second most is 2-2. I think it's higher than 4-0.
Okay.
Well, at midseason,
two games are on the road,
and they're 0 for the road.
Right. Well, I just can't see that happening.
You know, Buffalo has the best opposing passer rating in the National Football League.
Is that right?
67.
Buffalo's got it.
Really?
Buffalo is not that far away.
Jairus Bird has 8 picks.
They just can't score.
They now suddenly throw the ball deep with Ryan Fitzpatrick just looking for T.O.
Right. They got Paluzzi.
This
Paluzzi.
This
yeah.
team gives up some big plays.
And
they
by
have
the way,
a
why
new fuel to their fire.
T.O. ain't doing nothing. That's why Sean Springs has been holding out. He's going to be ready for he's going to be ready for T.O.
Oh, boy.
It's my quarterback. He's saving him for T.O. for the last game of the season.
Did they not think they could go deep to T.O. earlier in the season? I mean, I know he was hurt for a
while.
They had a
coaching change. Clearly, there's been a lot.
But that's what I'm saying. Did he not think he could go deep to T.O. before?
I don't know. It was a quarterback change and a coaching change. And the coach, T.O., after the first game where they had the big play, said, you know, I've been wanting to be more aggressive all year, so don't ask me or whatever. Basically saying, Dick Geron didn't want to be more
on the old coach.
I mean, he Fuel replaced Jackson in the backfield. Put Jackson in for Marshawn Lynch as the starter.
Yep.
Replaced the quarterback. So clearly there were some major kind of philosophical changes with, you know, some of his underlings and what Dick Geron was doing. Mm-hmm. They've had a little bit of success since. So I don't think that game is penciled in as a win. And especially, what if it's windy? It's 50-mile-an-hour winds and you can't throw the ball deep to Moss and Welker?
I don't think you can pencil any of their last four games.
That's why if you think they're a pick-em kind of team, then 2-2 is pretty likely.
Kevin writes in, hey,
Chris Ferreira, superfan webmaster, believes.
2-2? Really?
Kevin says, hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and that other voice that always tells me to go screw myself.
Who's this?
Carolina is a once-every-four-season team we play.
Oh.
What about them would make you think that they have a chance to beat us? I am usually up on all teams in the NFL, but the Panthers have been such a non-factor this year that I haven't paid attention to them. Also, if we have a 38-17 win this week, can we stop talking about what a terrible leader Brady is? I think it is the guy
that tells me
to F off that has this opinion.
See, you don't listen.
We have
one of the best QBs in history,
and he's coming off a knee injury. Get off his ass, D-bag. He's talking to you, Andy.
I think he is, and the D-bag is typing the email, not speaking at a microphone.
Wow.
He just doesn't listen. And, you know, ignorant people, that's the way they go through life.
What's the difference between Santa and Tiger Woods? Santa quits after three hoes.
That was strippers.
Yes.
Carolina, I am not fearful of, but I'm fearful of the Patriots.
This has
nothing really to do with the opposition anymore.
Right.
I've had that shaken from me.
Right.
The Panthers have two good running backs. Both have been banged up. Either of those guys can go for 150 any day, especially D'Angelo Williams, who's a big play guy. If Brandon Merriweather misses a tackle on D'Angelo Williams, okay, it's a 65-yard touchdown run. They have Steve Smith, who's a big play receiver. So if Brandon Merriweather isn't over the top or those corners are, you know, not on the same page,
it doesn't matter if Matt Moore or DeLome is back there.
And if DeLome is the good DeLome, which
he's
hasn't been
good.
Often enough, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
We've seen that firsthand in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When he's running around, firing the ball, he can be good at times.
And there might be some weather like today to contend with.
Could be weather.
So they might be forced to run the ball
Patriots
more.
By 10.
And how about the defense? John Beeson, maybe one of the best middle linebackers in the game. Two interceptions in the red zone last week to kind of really steal a win. And when you're stealing wins from the Bucs, that says who you are as a team. But Julius Peppers,
We know he's the guy that can change a game at any point. A screen pass reaches that big mid up.
Field, Fred.
I heard he wasn't doing too good.
He's been hot and cold.
Oh no! You know what? I mixed him up with Terrell Suggs. Terrell Suggs got sat, I think, last week.
Okay, but he has he's been hot and cold. Beeson called him out early in the year after he had a slow start. He really picked it up after that, and then he broke his hand or wrist and was kind of limited. But it doesn't matter what he's been every other week. It only matters what he is against the Patriots, and right now I'm scared of almost any team.
Here's a question for you. Based on the way Peppers has played this year and given that he's been playing in Carolina this year, how different would this Patriots season be if he were on this team?
Who?
Peppers.
I don't know. I really
don't.
Okay,
that's what I'm looking
for. I think it would be different. I think he,
I mean the
issue with him is his drive. He seems
like
he's
hotter.
That's my point.
I think he'd be driven here.
That was my point.
Out of a new place, he put himself on the line. I want to go play linebacker in a 3-4.
Right.
At least the first year, I think he'd want to prove I'm a linebacker in a 3-4, and he's a great athlete, and he can change games
when
he wants
to. The quarterback,
he's
obviously
better than any pass rusher this team has.
That would have been my point.
And that's his biggest need. So sure,
if you had Peppers at Indianapolis, does Manning have all that time at the end to throw those passes to get them back in the game?
I'm just worried about the guys we have.
Oh brother,
you know I'm just worried about. The center to quarterback exchange.
I'm just saying, it was the biggest argument of the offseason, whether or not to sign Peppers.
Know,
they didn't sign Peppers.
I know.
How different would this season be?
I don't
be?
Know. It could be better.
It would be better.
I think it would be a lot better.
I mean, you have that one guy if he wants to play.
I think if he were here, he would want to play. Especially if he's the one guy getting to the quarterback and racking up the sacks.
Especially since we rendered my little theory moot by playing all these 4-3 fronts with him with his hand down as Tully Bantakane or Derek Burgess. It would be better. Their defense would be better, just like it would be better with Richard Seymour.
Sean says, stick a fork in them. I was at that game and watched Henny march up and down the field with ease. Do you think the Texans game is in the bag now?
No.
Everything is out of whack.
No game
Can
is in the
bag.
Can we
get some free agent linebackers this offseason?
You need free agent linebackers. You need a free agent, probably cornerbacks, defensive line. You need a lot of free
agents. You need defensive playmakers.
You need a third wide receiver.
Bill says,
because Eric has blown it up.
APFW and Doc, I think we should chalk up this year as somewhat of a rebuilding year. Having said that, what does Belichick expect when you're trying to get players at a discount? What this team needs are new coordinators, defense and offense. Boy, do I miss Charlie and Romeo. What will it take to make the defense from looking like the Keystone Cops?
Well, here's the thing. If people keep getting on O'Brien and Pease because they're not Weiss and Crennel. How much better would Weiss and Crennel be doing with this group of players? I argue that it wouldn't be much different. I mean, coordinators and coaches can only do so much.
Weiss
the players
left,
on the field
like,
have to make the
Charlie
plays.
Charlie Weiss has left, and then Josh McDaniels became the best offensive coordinator in the league.
Bronco won better. They didn't like Charlie Weiss for the last couple of years.
I remember people saying he's always trying to be too...
He's trying to puff up his resume and make himself look better and get a job. He's
people
not
used to
about
criticize his play calling as much as
That's
they
right.
criticize the play
right.
calling now.
That's right.
Grass is always greener with these people.
Again, Bill O'Brien, Bill Belichick, no one on the sideline threw that interception in the end zone in Miami. I mean, come on.
There's only so much that the coaches can do. Pease gets a bad rap, and, I mean, he has to deal with the players that he has. And the players that he has, I don't think, would be doing a whole much better for Romeo Crennel than they are for Dean Pease.
TG in Jersey says, I think Andy needs to stick around for the next show with Shalise. He's more adept at getting the crap out in the open.
Baloney.
Is that a shot at me?
We'll see. Thanks, guys. You were right. I realize now I do get negative when the team is not doing well. Using Fred Kirsch-like logic, it's the team's fault for setting the bar so high.
Yeah.
I got a Fred Kirsch-like feeling the Pats will beat Carolina but lose to the Bills. I
have no feeling.
I can't have any feeling at this point.
But you'll pick him every week.
I don't know about that.
Oh,
now he's really a hurt lover.
Right. Spurned.
You're going to pick against him this week?
I don't know, I said.
Not this week.
Probably not this week.
At Buffalo. And they'll win this week. You'll feel a little better about him. So then you can pick him in Buffalo.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
You see Steve Slayton went on IR, which helps a little bit for that game at Houston. He's
a good
obviously
player for them.
Healthy and athletic, fast playmaker.
Mm-hmm. Yummy from Texas is Nick Kazier our best and only right tackle? I'm not sold on Light, Vollmer, and Lavoie playing right tackle. This explains why Nick's job has been safe for a while, despite being the worst starter on the offensive line. This is true. Belichick has let his team down.
Well, Belichick has been very praiseful of Vollmer as both a right and left tackle. So if he were healthy, this might be a different scenario. I don't know how it would play out, but I don't think Kazier is the only one who can play right tackle.
No, I don't think so.
I think Vollmer is in the mix of potentially being one of the top two tackles on some level.
And I think Lavar can play either side as well.
Yeah.
I don't know how well. I don't know if he's as good, but, I mean, in a pinch, he can play either side.
Certainly.
We've seen him play either side.
In a pinch, but he's talking about a starter.
Well, as a starter, I think Vollmer's your future on the left, but.
Yes, but he's talking about right tackle Kazier this year. And Bill signed Kazier to an extension. For whatever that's worth.
Well, but I don't know if that means anything because, you know, they signed Eric Alexander to an extension. They signed Sam Aiken to an extension. None of those guys are starters.
No, but he's been a starter.
He has been, but I mean, I don't think you can.
I think he's signing guys to extensions for the role they fill. Sam Aiken as a special teams core player, Eric Alexander as a special teamer, and Nick Kazier was signed to an extension in the midst of being a starter. Not a huge money or anything. It seems
but
like they kind of want him.
Josh points out a good quote from Al Michaels. He said this about Jared Allen Monday night. He said, "Sooner or later, 69 will be in your face."
Oh, that's a great
69.
Quote.
Oh, wow.
That's a great quote. He probably didn't even know he was doing
it. No. But I'm sure it was brought to his attention by somebody.
Oh, yeah.
The Andy Hart of the booth.
Wow.
Aaron says the New England teams in general are killing me. In every league, it's the same discussion. Pats, we've been talking about it for 12 months. They got old. Bill tried to overhaul the team and has no locker room guys. Best player, Welker, the little guy. Red Sox getting old. Nobody in that locker room would get in your face. Best player, Pedroia, the little guy. Celtics getting old. Last year, Garnett got in people's face. But like Andy says, it doesn't mean much when they aren't playing. This year might be better, but best player, probably Rondo, the little guy. Which of these teams do you think will be the first to successfully go through the youth movement and win a championship?
Successfully go through the youth movement. It's different in the other sports. Because the Celtics are going to not necessarily go through a youth movement. They're going to.
And you don't need as many players in basketball.
Well, yeah, it's star driven, but you know. They have it set up so I don't know the exact order. I believe it's Allen this year, Pierce next year, Garnett the next year. Their contracts expire. It opens up a salary cap slot to potentially go after Dwayne Wade, LeBron, you know, all these big free agent classes. So it's very different. I don't think the Celtics have any intention of going through a youth movement again. They tried the youth movement, and it sucked for about 15 years.
Yeah.
The Red Sox, it's always a continuous youth movement with a key free agent or trade here.
And this they can win at any point because baseball is so
this one's interesting.
Different. You can just pick up anybody you want, whenever you want. Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
Kind of can in the NFL, too, if you want.
If you want to look at a silver lining to what's going on this year with the Pats, it's that all of these young players, especially in the secondary, who are getting all this playing time, you can argue that they wouldn't normally have gotten it and they maybe will mature faster. You hope.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, a lot of unanswered questions from this show.
Like the team, don't answer questions.
Right. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, 12 o'clock, Thursday, and we'll have an injury report later on. But we have the big news was the four guys that were told to go home.
And to talk about that news.
Eric will be here with the source of that news, mm-hmm. Shalise, if they allow her down here. How's she getting here?
She'll be all right.
She's the reporter. She has
Don't lock me out of that computer, Fred.
I'm not locking you out.
No.
There's no password on this computer.
No, log out. Don't log out. You normally turn the computer off when the next show starts, and doctor has to reboot it and put the emails back
password
up again.
Password is man groomer.
Oh, boy.
And the user login is perfect push-up.
69.
That, Fred is still hairy and fat.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW Progress. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned for Eric and Shalise.